జయం శుభాదపరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అశ్రోత్ర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధనకి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి హేమనమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద నమాముష్పదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి తిరినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయుధపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పార్థో వల్స సుదేవోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రత జలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ క్రమేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామావికర్ణఘోరమగరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదైర్క్రమౌపనిషదైర్గాయందియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద అభయం సత్వసంశుద్ధి జ్ఞానయోగ వ్యవస్థితి ద త్రీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వన్స్ దాట్ ఈస్ వాట్ బేసికలీ డివైన్ నేచర్ మీన్స్ అభయం సత్వసంశుద్ధి జ్ఞానయోగ వ్యవస్థితి ద ఫస్ట్ త్రీ ది అదర్ థింగ్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ది పొజిషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ డూయింగ్ సాధన యు సీ ది అదర్ థింగ్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ మెన్షన్ దేర్ ఈస్ దానం దమం యజ్ఞం దానం దమస్య యజ్ఞస్య స్వాధ్యాయం తపస్ ఆర్జవం అహింస సత్యం అక్రోధం త్యాగం శాంతి అపేషణం ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ స్పోకన్ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ షుడ్ బి అండర్స్టూడ్ ఇన్ ఫ్రమ్ ది పొజిషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఈజ్ సీరియస్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్ హూ ఈజ్ డూయింగ్ సాధన వెరీ సీరియస్లీ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫర్ దెమ్ విచ్ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ దాన్ ఇన్ ద నార్మల్ వరల్డ్ The same thing in the normal world It is understood in one way, but in the case of a person who is executing sadhana, it should be understood in a different way. That's the difference what we have to talk about. That's what we are worried about, because they are everything, if you look at it, in the general world, it has one meaning. But when it comes to spiritual life, it has a little different meaning. The same thing with Uddhava and Krishna also in the Ekadasham you will find there. Uddhava asking Krishna, what does this mean? The words are very simple. And direct meaning if you take, the way it is understood in the world, that's one way. But then Krishna explains it in the light of a spiritual person, or who is executing, who is trying for self-realization, how he should see things, which is slightly different than the way it is understood in the world. So these things you have to put some time and look at it, how it is to be understood. Yeah. So only then you will see the differences there between the general understanding in the world and the way a person who is executing sadhana, how he has to understand it, which is little different than the way it is understood in the world. So yesterday what we talked about it, I thought I didn't explain it enough to make that point very clear, that the Rishi's understanding is different than ours. Rishis are coming from one angle, we are coming from another angle. Yeah? For example, some important understanding it is, right? We see the world as real, is it not? That is how we are. We are like that. We see this world as real, and we are perceiving this world through our senses, right? We perceive the world through our senses. We see the world as real. And therefore, we are writing this thing called history of this world. Why do we write history? Because we take this world as real. And we also perceive this world through our senses. And we take things what comes through our senses as truth. Because we think like that, everything is real for us. The world is real, and what we perceive through senses is also real truth for us. Therefore, we write the history. And our understanding is that truth is subject to senses and history and the world as real. This is our where we come from. This is our foundation on which we live in this world. World is real, what we perceive through senses are real, and therefore we write the history of this world and we take that as real. Isn't it? This is from our side. Where is the difference then between us and the Rishis? The Rishis know that this world is Maya. That's how they see the world. They see the world as Maya, and because it comes from Prakriti, they follow the Shastram, they don't follow us. They are not ignorant like us. They follow the Shastram. Shastram says Prakriti is this Maya, right? And Bhagavad Gita also says that, is it not? 7th chapter. Bhumira Banalo Vayu, all this Prakriti, Ashtada Prakriti is Maya, right? And therefore, they don't accept this world as real like the way we accept it as real. Yeah? For them, anything perceived through senses is not a truth. This is another thing. For us, everything is truth if it is we have seen with the eyes, or we heard with the ear, and we have tasted with the tongue, or we have touched with the senses, or smelled with the nose. Through our five senses, whatever we are perceiving, we accept it as real and truth. Rishis don't accept that. And because of that, only it is an apparent reality. Pradhibhasika Satyam, they call it. It's not Satyam, it is not the truth. It is Pradhibhasika Satyam, it is apparent reality and not the absolute truth. Right? So both us and the Rishis, understanding of the truth is different. Rishis understand truth in one way, we understand the truth in another way. Why? Because we accept the world as real, we accept the senses as perfect, what we perceive through the senses as truth, and we accept it that way. Rishi says, this world is Maya, this is Prakriti, this is Maya, and your senses are not perfect. What you perceive through senses cannot be accepted as the truth. This is their position. Our position is different, their position is different. So both we and the rishis, our understanding of the truth is different, right? And this is the reason why I was saying yesterday that many things in the Puranas, when they are talking about it, they have this understanding that they will say in one way in one Puranam and in another way in another Puranam. And that the because they don't give importance to these things. What they give importance to it is that what is the impact, the what you see through your senses is not important, but the impact of those objects on you is what matters. This is their way of looking at things. So until we understand this, you have to think about it a little bit and make yourself clarity with that, you see. And to understand that this is why in Puranams things are spoken differently in different places. Yeah. So, and you can also see that in the Bhagavadam, at the end of the 12th canto, in the 3rd chapter, 14th verse, Kada idam se kahidam ahiyasam, vidaya logeshu yasha pareyusham, vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vipo, vacho vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there that, Vajo Vibhudir Nadu Paramatyam, my dear king, I have spoken all these things only for one purpose. They are all katha, and you don't have to take it as absolute, he says to them. Isn't it? That famous verse it is. Katha idam se kathayam mahiyasam, vidaya logeshu isha parayusham, vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vipho. I have spoken these things only for one purpose, in order to create vijnanam and vairagyam in you. For that purpose I have said this, he said. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vipo. Vajo vibhudir. All these vibhudis I have spoken. Nadu paramarthyam. They are not the truth. They are not the truth. So, always you should remember this, that Rishi's mind, Rishi's way of thinking, and the Rishi's way of saying things is not like the way we are looking at it and we are thinking about it. They are totally different. They are coming from a different plane altogether. So, so we study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam from our plane, from where we are at. And the Rishis study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam from their plane, from their position. Yeah. So, these are the important things to think through it. You have to think through it. And till you are getting that clarity inside, you have to accept it that way. You have to accept what the rishis are saying. That is why Krishna is keep repeating in the Bhagavad Gita that a shastra vidimul srajya vartade kama karaka. Shastram is authority, not you. You are not the authority. Shastram is authority. Krishna keeps stressing that point there. It's, you know, twice, one after the other, two verses he spoke in the 18th chapter. A shastra vidimul srajya vartade kama karaka. So, if their approach is, if the stories, what they have spoken in the Puranams, if it is creating spiritual knowledge in you and renunciation in you, then the purpose is served. Right? We need not look into why it happened. How. You see, our problem is that we go in like the historians go. Historians want to find out when it happened, how it happened, where it happened and all that. Rishis are not interested in that. This is because we take history as the truth, is it not? That is the problem with us, right? So, you have to understand their point of view. And that's the way you have to study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. You have to understand their point of view, right? Any incident in the history depends on the person who writes it. It's based on that the history is written, is it not? So, depending on the with the bodily identity, because everyone is on the bodily concept of life. Everyone is identifying with their body, right? So, when you are identifying with the body, naturally, because of your identification, when you write the history, it will have its influence on the history what you have written also, right? For example, if you take the World War, the way we were taught in the schools about the history of the World War, why it happened, that these Germans did everything wrong and that is why this has happened and all, World War has happened. That's how it was perceived in the, purely because of the publicity, what they have given to it, right? So they gave, the historians here gave an account of the war and why war has happened. And due to their bodily identification, when they wrote the history, they wrote everything in favor of the country where they come from. Accordingly, they wrote the history, right? And later on, other people, when they looked at this history, they could see that everything was not so straightforward, what the way history has presented it to us. And they started seeing that the history also you can't trust, it completely depends on the historian who have written the history. So therefore history is not also a truthful account of the situation, right? And so in the same way, Krishna, what is Krishna is saying to us is that satyam or the truth is not what you think through your eyes, what you see as the truth. That's not how you perceive the truth. So that is why you remember when the Garbhastuti was spoken, when Lord Brahma and the other devas came to see Krishna, how did they put satyam to him? Satyavradam satyaparam tra satyam. Satyasya satyam nihidanja satya. Satyasya satyam krada satya netram satyayidam sam sharanam prabhadyaha. He said. They gave a lot of different satyam spoken there. And you can see from that the satyasya satyam is Krishna. That means these things are satyam, but this is not ultimate satyam. Satyasya satyam is only Krishna. That is why they addressed Krishna as satyasya satyam krita satya netram satyayam sam sharanam prapannaha. So you have to look at the words they have used, how carefully they have chosen the words. And the reason is that they don't accept what we think as truth, as the truth. They don't see it like that, the way we see things. That is the main reason. So, similarly, everything, when Krishna is saying this, okay, Abhayam Satya Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, Krishna has spoken first. Three requirements for divine nature. After that, Dhanam, Dhamam, Yajnam, Swadhyayam, Tapasya, Arjavam, Ahimsa, which we have seen yesterday, how they is to be understood, how they have to be understood. And we were talking about ahimsa, isn't it? That's where we stopped yesterday, ahimsa. So this ahimsa, how it affects a person, we talked about the examples of Chatami Swamiji and Ramana Maharshi and others, how they have seen that, right? So once in Virubhaksha Guha, Maharshi was living there, and there were some tigers wandering around in the forest there. It is their land. They were living their life there, right? Cheetahs and the tigers were there. So there was one devotee who came there, and Vasudeva Shastri, his name, he went to bathe in a tank there, and he saw the tigers there, and he got a little bit scared, frightened about it, and came back and told Maharshi that I've seen those tigers there, he said. And Maharshi was sitting outside his cave where he was living, right? And when he sat down there, a tiger came in there inside. Maharshi went inside into the cave, and then he started speaking to the tiger. And he told the tiger that, "Do you know where I am sitting now?" He says to the tiger, "So don't come here during the daytime. It scares people who are coming to Virubhaksha Guha, right? And people come here, and therefore don't come here and disturb them." He told them openly like this to the tiger, and then they don't turn up after that. So you can see, when Sarvalpa Bhavam comes, when you start recognizing Andaryami in others, this is the change that happens in a person. He can talk to every living entity just like the way we are talking to each other. This is all very deep realizations inside. Maharshi understood that the Sarvatma Bhavam, which Krishna is talking about in the Ekadasha Skandam also, isn't it? A pure devotee's position is that. So that thing, that a pure devotee means this, that Sarvatma Bhavam comes to him. And unless that comes, he is not pure. He is not considered to be pure. Right? So, Krishna told Kaliya the same thing, right? Ahimsa pratishtayam tal sannidho vaira tyagaha. till wherever there is violence, wherever there is himsa, violence, right? And till sarvatma bhavam comes there, there will be hate and there will be dvesham. Dvesham means and hate. Dvesham and hate, right? So, and that is a natural thing, right? And why you have to understand why it is like that. We have come through the animal bodies to the human body. We all have come through different animal bodies to the human body, right? So that violent nature, what we had, vasanas in the animal's body, will still be there inside us. They will still be there, right? In the form of vasana, it is still present inside us. And only if we have succeeded in wiping out all those vasanas from inside, that animal vasanas, what we have acquired while we were animals, or birds, or whatever, the lower species. Because we have come through that. And those vasanas have not gone away, even though we have come to the human body. That vasanas will still be there inside. And till that is wiped out from inside, chittashuddhi won't come. Chittashuddhi won't come. So, pure premam, what we talk about, Krishna premam and all we talk about is, right? That Krishna premam, priyam and all these things, that is perfect there. There is no violence there. There is no himsa, right? Hate or anger towards others, inimical feelings, all these things has to completely leave inside, leave from inside. And that is what Krishna calls it as Devi Sambhata. Devi Sambhata means all these things. That when all these base vasanas in us, animal propensities, animal vasanas, till that completely leaves us, Krishna is saying that you cannot have a divine nature. Divine nature means that. So, in the Yogava system, Bhagiratha was given instructions. Bhagiratha, who brought the Ganga river into this world, he was given the tattvam to him. Bhagiratha, what did he do? His inimical kingdom attacked his kingdom at that time. And Bhagiratha goes to the inimical, the king who had come to attack the kingdom, embraced him, and he told him that, you can have the kingdom. I have not come to fight with you, because ahimsa, Bhagiratha was a sage-like person. That is why he was able to bring the Ganga river into this world. It's not Bhagirathi. It's called Bhagirathi for that. Because of Bhagiratha. The story is there in the ninth canto. What I'm saying is, that such a great soul, who has almost, he's a king, but he has already become a rishi. So the qualities of the person has changed. So much chittashuddhi has happened to him, that he cannot see any more kingdom as his, another kingdom as somebody else's. Everywhere when he perceives the presence of Atma, this is what happens to him, person, right? So you can see this ahimsa is something what has to be understood properly. Now, Gandhiji took ahimsa for non-violence, for fighting for independence, is it not? He used non-violence as a weapon for that, right? And he has used it as a personal thing, that very much he will follow the principle of non-violence, right? And what Krishna is saying here is, these qualities, what he is talking about, it has to be applied only to individual level. As an individual, you have to develop spiritually by developing these qualities. It is not meant for a whole society. You can't apply ahimsa to a whole society altogether. That is his point, right? That means collectively using ahimsa, which Gandhiji did, right, and which is not exactly like the way Bhagavad Gita is spoken. Bhagavad Gita spoke about ahimsa purely for individual advancement in spiritual path. For individual spiritual development, you have to use ahimsa as a requirement. But you can't use ahimsa collectively for a whole society, right? So, of course, he had this intention behind that ahimsa to get the freedom from the British at that time, right? So, somehow or the other, he wanted to use that ahimsa to destroy the British Empire at that time. And So he used the ahimsa as a weapon for that, right? And that is a collective approach, using it on a collective level, right? So Gandhiji did that successfully and he had his benefit. But one who has accepted as an ideal like that and living like that, he may be able to do that. But that is why at that time, when Gandhiji was fighting for independence, there was a lot of discussion about it. There were many, many leaders of like Subhash Chandra Bose and many others who were, Bose told him that ahimsa, I have no faith in that, he said to Gandhiji. He said to Gandhiji, they had a lot of disagreement on that, right? And he said that it is not possible collectively to use ahimsa as a weapon. That was his point, right? So there were many people at that time who were against Gandhiji's principle of ahimsa, even at that time, right? And they were also as devoted to the country like Gandhiji was. They had the same feeling for Bharata Bhumi like Gandhiji felt, Subhash Chandra Bose also, and many others, right? And they were also very straightforward people. And they were very patriotic, in other words. They had great devotion to the land and everything, right? But their opinion was different. They didn't believe in a collective level using ahimsa for this purpose, because Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita all these things for an individual person who is doing sadhana to realize the truth. That is how it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Not as a weapon to be used collectively for achieving your political purposes or political motives and things like that, right? So their opinion was different. So they were all people, there's so many leaders at that time who were all Gopal Krishna Gokhale, Bal Gangadhar Tilak, many, many famous leaders who were all very devoted to the country, and they wanted to drive British away from the country at that time. So Nehru, Jawaharlal Nehru was also among them, and he wrote a book called Discovery of India. Like, it's a famous book, Discovery of India, right? Subhash Bose told him, I don't want to discover India, he said. That was Subhash Chandra Bose's reply to Nehru. I don't want to discover India, he said. I love India, he said. That's the way he spoke to him, right? So, and if a prime minister of a country says, I have to discover India, means, is it not a shame thing? He said, the prime minister is saying like this, I have to discover India, right? He says, nothing to discover, he said. Subhash Chandra Bose said, I love India, he said, right? So he said to Nehru and Gandhiji and others that this ahimsa and all what you are talking about is all waste of time, he said. You have to take the weapon and fight. That was his position, right? So similarly, Buddha spoke about ahimsa, is it not? Right? So in that time when Buddha was talking about it, the kings were fighting each other. They had a lot of enmity and there is a lot of stories about them. One day, it so happened that in Magadha, that is in Bihar at that time, there were lots of people who were keeping a lot of weapons at home for fighting, right? And these weapons were creating some noises, right? And everybody started talking about it. The weapons are creating a lot of noises, he said. So the king also had a lot of weapons. He had a separate location where he was storing a lot of weapons for fighting the war. The kings had their own, armory, yeah, right. So, them days, the kings also had a lot of faith in the astrologers. So they called the astrologers and discussed with them, what is this happening here, right? They said that it is an indication of some inauspicious thing going to happen, right? And the Brahmanas told him that, one Brahmana said to them, that a child is born in our house, and it is that time all these things happen. The weapons that were stored in different places were all making noise from the weapons, right? So, therefore they decided to give up that child who was born, right? And they, Brahmanas all collectively said to the king, that because of this birth of this particular child, a lot of suffering is going to happen in the country, right? So, So the king said like that, and Buddha was also there, that Buddha has taught this, that one should not hate each other, because particularly a small baby who was born, how can you make a decision like that? So they gave the name to that child, Ahimsaka. That was the name they have given to that baby, right? And the child grew up, studied, and became a very scholarly person later. And they took him to some, Gurugulam, and left him there for his further studies there at that time, right? So the wife of the guru, she was very fond of him, his intelligence and his nature, seeing all that, right? One day somebody said something to the guru about him, and guru also felt something wrong seriously about this child, Ahimsaka, right? And most of the people were offering more respects to him than the guru, because he happened to be much more scholarly person, this new Ahimsaka who had come there, right? So even your wife is asking him questions to understand things more than she asks you about various things in life. So when the guru heard all these things, he sent him away from the patashala, from the school. He sent him away, right? He came home, and when he came home, because he was expelled from the patashala, from home they expelled him also. He was grown up by then, right? So he went and tried to get admission in other patashalas, other schools, but he couldn't get admission there. So ultimately, at that time, the violence what was inside him started coming out, manifesting, right? And then he developed such a hate towards the whole society. And then he goes into the forest. And at that time, a dacoit comes to attack him in the forest, right? And this Ahimsaka attacked him and made him to surrender, the dacoit to surrender to him. And he cut his fingers off. Of the dacoits, fingers were cut off by this Ahimsaka, right? And with the finger, he made a garland and put it on his neck. Ahimsaka, right? So, fingers are called anguli, anguli mala. So, when he put the garland on his neck, his name got changed. Instead of Ahimsaka, they started calling him as anguli mala, because he has put his fingers as the garland, right? So, at that time, the king who was ruling there, Prasenajit, he told Buddha that, I am going to attack this person with my army. And Buddha says to him, let me try. I will go and talk to him first. Because he is becoming a powerful person there. And he had his own army, and a lot of people started following him. So it was becoming a threat for the king. So king wanted to attack him before and kill him. And therefore he spoke to Buddha, and Buddha said, no, let me go and talk to him first. So, Buddha, being very non-violent, he goes up to him, and everybody tried to tell Buddha to come back, not to go, to because he could get attacked by Angulimala. And when he got there, Angulimala came to attack him. Buddha was very peaceful. He didn't show any kind of violence or aggressive nature, right? And he came with his sword in the hand. At that time, and Buddha could not even get closer to him because he was ready with the sword to kill him, right? while he was saying like this, Buddha says to him, I don't get affected by these things. I'm very peaceful inside. I'm not affected by this. When he spoke like that, Angulimala says to him, I don't need your advice on these things. This is the way Angulimala is reacting to Buddha. But Buddha is saying to him that I have no enmity towards anyone, and you don't have to be fearful about me. I am so peaceful inside that you don't have to consider me as your enemy. That was Buddha's approach like that, right? So Angulimala says to him, not only I will cut your fingers off, I'll take your life as well, he said. So therefore, if you are going to have So Buddha says to him, if by doing that, if you are going to get shanti, do so, he said. And at that time, when Buddha spoke that word shanti, immediately it touched him. That Angulimala was affected by that. So what it is saying is that when someone is matured, yeah, and if a guru speaks this word shanti to him, and shanti is your swarupam, like Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam, shanti is our swarupam, is shanti. Our swarupam is not anything else, shanti. Tadatparam shanti mubhayati sakshal, says that, isn't it, in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says that, tadaparam shanti mubhayati sakshal. That means our actual swarupam is shanti. Our actual swarupam is shanti, right? And so when a guru, like a realized person like Buddha, when he spoke about shanti, it had an immediate effect on that person. And then he became a Buddha sannyasi later, this Angulimala, became a Buddha sannyasi later, right? So, and he fell down in front of Buddha, offered obeisances to him, and Buddha said that all your past sinful things have been wiped out. Buddha had that strength to say that to him, right? So, what actually Buddha has done was, he has won violence with non-violence. With ahimsa, he won the violence of that person, right? And he became a Buddha sannyasi. So, later on, this Angulimala, who has killed a lot of people, after he has become a Buddha sannyasi, he had a begging bowl, and he was going begging for food to different places, right? So, but people won't leave him. A lot of people beat him up after that. He won't react to it. He accepted their beatings, right? So he's saying that when I was young and what I have done, my reactions are coming, I'm accepting it that way. So while dying, he says to Buddha that the violence I have done, the hate I have developed in my mind, all these things, I have wiped it out now. Because people have given me enough thrashing from different places. When I went to just like in the case of Bhikshu. You remember what happened in Bhikshu Gita? In the same way, he said that everything what I have done wrong in my life, the reactions of all that has been wiped out by the actions of the population, general population who have done this to him, right? And saying that I am in shanti state, saying that he died. He left this body, right? So so that is why, if you look into the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this. If you look at the sixth chapter, he's saying there, Dhyana Yoga, Yunjan Nevam Sadalpanam, 15th verse, 6:15, Yunjan Nevam Sadalpanam, Yogi Niyatamanasa Shandim Nirvana Paramam Malsam Tham Adhigachadi. See that? Yunjan Nevam Sadalpanam Yogi Niyatamanasa Shandim Nirvana Paramam Malsam Tham Adhigachadi. Ahimsa is a great principle, it is, right? But it cannot be applied as collectively for a society. It is for individual upliftment, individual advancement in spiritual path, right? So, suppose there is an army and you are telling the army you have to follow ahimsa. You cannot do that, can you? Because army is meant for violence only. They will have to act with violence, right? So that will not work. That is the reason Krishna is saying here that all these things what he is talking about is only for a very few people in this world who are doing sadhana daily, every day, for self-realization, for spiritual advancement. It is only for them this apply, not for the whole population. We misunderstand sometimes things, that everything what we have understood from Bhagavad Gita, we should apply to the whole world. It will not work. It is not going to work. Because that's the way it is. This is what I'm saying. Sanatana Dharmam is for individual. Individually, if you are interested in spiritual life, if you want to realize the truth, if you want to be self-realized, for your benefit, individually, you have to develop all these qualities. That's the way you have to see Bhagavad Gita. Not that it is for whole country and whole world will change because of Bhagavad Gita. That will not happen. It is not possible also. Because everything Krishna is saying here, that it is directed for those people who are doing sadhana on a daily basis to realize the truth. Right? And that we should know that here. Because the path of the person who is doing sadhana, his path is different from others. Right? The path of the materialistic people is different. Yeah? And that is why it is said, Arthagama para yuyam, Narayana para vayam, Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu yuyam yuyam vayam vayam. You will be as you are and you will be like we are. That's not going to change. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu, all time, yuyam yuyam, you will be what you are, talking about materialist, vayam vayam, we will be like the way we are. That's not going to change. So these are important things to understand here, that when we are studying these verses, right? Spiritualists, their path is different. Materialists, their path is different, right? You cannot go and tell them about ahimsa. They won't listen to you, right? Adhyalpa sadhana, particularly bhakti sadhana, there himsa is not allowed at all, right? Similarly, just like us, our senses and the our senses, when we know that we cannot completely accept what the senses are demanding. And animals, they have also got their pain and they have got their suffering as well. So it is not possible to apply this principle to the whole world like that, right? So that is the reason Sanatana Dharmam, remember this. Sanatana Dharmam is not ready to propagate vegetarianism. This is another thing. Sanatana Dharmam is not ready to propagate vegetarianism, right? So, there is no point in telling non-vegetarians to become vegetarians. They are not going to change in that way, right? But one thing what we have to understand is this, for bhakti sadhana, for executing bhakti, these things are not favorable. That's the way to understand this. For bhakti sadhana, it is not favorable, right? So, the idea is that you are not trying to propagate an idea in this ideology in this world, but whether you want bhakti or not, that's the first question. And if you want bhakti, then you have to give up the habit of eating animals and birds and all other non-vegetarian food. So one person asked about this to Maharshi also. Maharshi said that, you know, this question will always come up, that we are telling the non-vegetarians that they shouldn't kill animals and they should also become vegetarians. So he says to him that the plants and the others also got life in them. So why should we kill them then? Who made the decision that you shouldn't kill animals, but you can kill the plants and the trees and other things, right? They also got the life, isn't it? Maharshi said to him, even the plank of wood on which you are sitting, that has also got life in there, right? And not only the animals and the plants and the birds and all the other living entities, but even the table and the chair has got life in there, right? So, the thing is that understanding life itself is a big problem in this world. People think that something that is moving only has got life. Something that is standing in one place has no life. This kind of misunderstanding comes from that. That's why it's important to understand these things in the way Krishna has explained it to us, right? Jagadish Chandra Bose, a famous scientist at that time, he lived at the same time as Paramahamsa was living, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's time, right? So, Paramahamsa's first disciple, Brahmananda Swami, this Jagadish Chandra Bose was his devotee. He used to go and visit Brahmananda Swami. So when he went there, Brahmananda Swami told Jagadish Chandra Bose, right, Because you remember this Jagdishchandra Bose, he established that there is life in the plant through his experiments at that time. He was a scientist, right? So, Brahmananda Swami asked Jagdishchandra Bose, why are you only interested in the animal kingdom? Basically, Jagdishchandra Bose, first of all, at that time people thought there is no life in the animal kingdom. So Jagdishchandra Bose was conducting experiments, animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. And so Brahmananda Swami asked Jagdishchandra Bose, you are only concerned about this animal kingdom. What about the plant kingdom? What about the mineral kingdom? And they all have life in them. So the understanding that what is life? What is life? That itself is a big question, is it not? So rishis have understood that there is only life in this world. That's where they come from. They are thinking, they are saying to us, actually there is only life, which is consciousness. But consciousness can sometimes change its form in different ways. And when it becomes a table, you don't notice that consciousness as much as you do in a living person. Yeah? So life is present everywhere in the creation. This is the rishi's position. Rishis are saying to us, life is present throughout the creation. What to talk about here, right? And you see, look at our problem, our mistakes, what we are doing. Based on our concept of life, we are going and looking in the moon and asking that, is there life in the moon? Is it not? Is there life in Mars? Our scientists, that's what they are doing. They are sending rockets and other things to these planets to find out if there is life in those planets. Based on what? Based on our understanding of life. Right? So, but Shastram says, even in fire which is glowing, there is life inside that fire, right? And there are living entities inside the fire when it is burning. Only thing is, their bodies are made of a higher degree of fire element, therefore they can survive in that environment. There is living entities in the sun. They can survive in the sun in their extreme heat, because their body is made of fire element. And therefore they can exist. So this concept of life, what the scientists are saying today, and what they are searching for in the moon and in the Mars and all that, is not very correct the way they are going about it. Because their concept of life is there life like us in there? That's what they want to find out. Life is present everywhere. There is only life in this creation. There is nothing else. Matter is a further a development of from the life. Matter is you can say it is a changed form of life in a dead matter, jadam. Jadam comes from, this is why Prabhupada was saying about that book, life comes from life, is it not? In that book you will see all these things spoken there. Life comes from life. Only life exists, matter doesn't exist. So this principle he has spoken, right? Only thing is, if you go to Mars, if you go to Moon, if you go to Sun, living entities are everywhere, but it may not be the same way like we see the living entities in this planet. In this planet, right? So, similarly, you can see also, in the water, deep inside the water, there is living entities there. Plants are there, kilometers down, in the oceans. There are plants there, there are certain living entities deep down in the water. There is life there, in that water, right? So the argument is like this. If the living entities can exist inside the water, so deep inside, and they are still living there, able to survive there, the same way the living entities are living in the sun as well, in that heat. You may be thinking that, oh, it is extremely hot there, how can they live there? So that argument doesn't fly. If it can survive in the water deep down, in such depth in the water, their living entities are there. Because if people who go for scuba diving and all that, they go and look there and they find plants there. There are certain kind of different types of living entities deep inside the water. And they are surviving there. So in the same way, how can be that living entities cannot live in the sun in the same way. That means it's our ignorance. We have misunderstood what life is, first of all, right? So, and so that is how it is. Material elements, five material elements, like our body is made of prithvi mostly, isn't it? It's an earthly body. Made maximum, there is an involvement of element content of prithvi, bhumi. And therefore, it is more suitable for the earthly atmosphere, more than the atmosphere in the sun or atmosphere in the water. But earthly atmosphere, this body is made of, so we are able to live in the earth. So, so what Krishna says about violence, ahimsa, that's what we are discussing now, right? Ahimsaya pratishtayam. So ahimsa is an important bhakti sadhana. So Krishna is saying that he is not applying ahimsa to the whole world, expecting the whole world to become ahimsa. He is saying that if you are engaged in spiritual life, if you are serious about spiritual advancement, ahimsa is important if you want to develop bhakti. So, because spiritual experience has to happen inside, then there should be no form of violence inside, right? Hate, dvesham, swartham, and for that purpose, for selfish reasons, giving pain to another living entity. Abhayam sarvabhudebhyaha. So, that means that nobody has to be frightened about me, that relationship, right? I am not here in this world to compete with anyone. And that is why in the Bhagavadam, beginning itself, it said, Nirmal Saranam Satam Vedyam. Remember? Dharma Projita Kaidavotra Paramo, Nirmal Saranam Satam Vedyam, is that. Nirmal Saranam, we are not here to compete with anyone in this world. These are qualities required for a person in spiritual path. Nirmal Saranam Satam, right? So, whoever comes in front of me, I have no intention to fight or be violent towards anyone. So, because these things, hate, anger, and violence, all these things are emotions which will disturb the shanti inside. And that's the reason, right? And therefore, a yogi will not accept that. Yogi cannot accept that. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse in the sixth chapter when he spoke about Shandim Nirvana Paramam. So, Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. Just like if you keep a dog at home, it is violence. It is violence towards a dog, right? You are actually obstructing its freedom. Yeah? And similarly, for the dog, right? They bring the dog and put them in front of the television, make the dog to watch the television, right? Similarly, air conditioning, because they don't want them. For dog's nature, air conditioning, television, and all is against its life, against its lifestyle, right? So, you can see in the modern world, many people, they won't take the street dogs. They've got some special breeds which they take it and bring them in, right? And foreign breed, they keep them at home, right? And this poor dog in the house, it's sitting there and it is looking through the window and he sees the street dogs wandering around freely and he is feeling envious. You can understand, isn't it? The street dogs, they don't have, nobody is giving them any, you know, they hunt, wander around wherever they want, and they eat the food what they can get, and they live their life freely, whichever way they want to live, right? But these dogs, which you are keeping them at home, or anybody who is keeping them at home, looked after very well in the air-conditioned room, he can watch the television, and he is given good clothing, plenty of vitamin tablets, and then when he gets arthritis, he's taken to the surgeon for treatment. And then the anesthetist comes and he gives anesthetic to him. And this person who is looking after the dog is thinking that he is doing a great service to that poor dog. The dog wants its freedom. Dog doesn't want all your air conditioning and television. What the dog wants is its freedom. So that is violence towards the dog. Violence towards the dog. So whichever, if you bring any living entity like that inside a box like that, it is a bondage, right? So if you understand ahimsa properly, ultimately, if you analyze it, only Brahman or consciousness is the truth. Nothing else is the truth, right? Because why Rishi say like that? Only Atma doesn't change. Atma always remains as it is, right? So it is keeping this as the principle that this word Satyam is used in this verse. Ahimsa Satyam Akrodham. Remember that word Krishna is saying there? Ahimsa Satyam Akrodham. Tyaga Shandri Apaishunam. Daya Bhudesh Aloluptam. Mardavam Hri Achapalam. Teja Kshama Dridir Shaujam. Adroho Adimanita. Bhavandi Sampadam Devi Abhijadasya Bharata. So this verse, in the second verse, when Krishna said this, Ahimsa Satyam Akrodham, you have to understand this in this way, that the when they are talking about Satyam, he is referring to the Satyam what the Rishis are talking about, not the Satyam what we are talking about. Remember, Satyam has got four levels. Paramarthika Satyam, Prativasika Satyam, Vaivaharika Satyam, Asatyam. All are Satyam only. But Satyam's different phases of Satyam. They accept only Paramarthika Satyam. They don't accept Pratibhasikam, Vaivaharikam or the Asatyam. These three they won't accept it. Rishis are saying, you are talking about Satyam. Satyam is Paramarthikam. That Paramarthika Satyam is what matters. It is keeping that Paramarthika Satyam, Krishna has spoken these verses. So one should be clear about all these things. Otherwise, you know what people think? Oh, I always speak the truth. So that means I am following the Satyam. No, that's not enough. Just because I always speak the truth doesn't mean that I am a truthful person. Truth is different than what you think the truth is. So that is why it is saying like that, right? So here, Arjuna, we were talking about keeping one thing inside and saying something else outside, that will create an imbalance in the system. And whatever you say, if it is creating a negativity inside, then it is asatyam. It is false, right? So, Rishis' definitions are different. That's the main thing. The way Rishis have defined all these things are different than the way we define them, right? So, that is why the story spoken in Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi will speak in a different way the same stories in the Bhagavatam. The stories what he has spoken in the Mahabharatam, both were written by him. And the stories what he has spoken in Mahabharatam, he will speak them in a different way in the Bhagavatam, right? And if you start, those people who are doing the research work, they get problem because of this. They are saying that how come he has said like this in the Bharatam and Mahabharatam and he is saying like this in the Bhagavatam, right? And they will ask, which one is the real one, truth one, out of these two, right? What is happening here? That is why Vedavyasa Maharshi said that in the Bhagavatam. Katha imamste kathitam mahiyasam. Isn't it? Katha imamste kathitam mahiyasam. And vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. Vidaya logeshu yashap pareyusham. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. Gajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. He made it explicitly clear in that verse to make us understand that their understanding of truth is different than our understanding of the truth. So don't get carried away. Shobhramashi says this to Parikshit. He says, I have spoken so many things in the Bhagavatam. Only my intention was, by hearing this, if you develop vijnanam and vairagyam inside, purpose is served. Don't go into inquiring about where it happened, how it happened, when it happened and all that. That's not interested. That's not making any, it's not much importance to us, right? Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. Only to create vijnana knowledge and vairagyam renunciation. For that purpose I have spoken this. He said that, yeah? So, vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam, right? The idea is that, he said, vijnanam vairagyam should come to you. Therefore, satyam means, if it is creating vijnanam vairagyam in you, And if it is creating compassion, daya, ahimsa, if these abhayam, if these qualities are developing in you, whatever I have spoken is truth. That's the way you have to understand that. I know it's difficult, isn't it? Most of the people, as I said in the beginning, that we are looking at, because we are so grounded strongly in this world, thinking that this world is real, body is real, senses are real, what we perceive through senses is the truth. We are stuck in this state. And therefore, you are evaluating everything from our position. And Rishi's position is different. They are looking at things from another side. They are saying, what is its effect on you at the end? As far as they are concerned, world is not real. Because this is not real. It is come from Prakriti. Maya it is. And you are trying to justify inside this Maya what is right and what is wrong and what is true here. So they don't go along with that. So that's the reason, right? So, satyasya satyam, that is what it was mentioned in that verse here. Satyavadam, satyavaram to satyam, satyasya yonim, nihidam ja satye. Satyasya satyam, krida satya netram, satyalpagam tuam sharanam pravanaha. You see how it said that? Satyasya satyam. Krishna is satyasya satyam. These things are all satyam. Satyam in the sense, they are vyavaharigam, they are pradhibhasigam, and in this, they are all satyam. But Krishna is satyasya satyam. The satyam behind all this satyam is Krishna. That's what Garbhasudhi is talking about. The first verse, it's very famous words that is, in the Indian Shmaskanda, in the 10th canto. When the Brahma and Brahmigods came to see Krishna, in the prison of Devaki Devi and Vasudeva was there, and Krishna was just born, that time the glorification begins like that. Satyavradam, satyavaram, trasatyam. Satyasya satyam, satyasya yonim, nihidanja satye. Satyasya satyam. Hrita satya netram, satyalpagam tuam sharanam pravanaha. So you can see that how demigods and the Brahma and the Rishis, they see satyam differently than the way we see satyam. Our satyam has no meaning basically. The satyam what we are talking about in this world doesn't mean much. This is materialist satyam. Materialist satyam is like this, what you have seen through the eye. And if you have got a photograph from the mobile, you are completely accepted. You have taken a photo from the mobile, isn't it? Like the delivery man, he comes and he throws the package in front of your door and he takes a photo and he runs away for the next delivery. This is our satyam. And he, if you ask him, you are not delivered, he says, I'll send you the photo. I've delivered it there. You are not there, what can I do? So, that is our satyam. That's satyam. It is satyam, but in that level only. But that is not satyasya satyam. Satyasya satyam is this, that behind all the other satyam, what we are talking about in this world, one truth which is behind all this, satyasya satyam nihidanja satye, satyalpagam tvam sharanam pravanaha. That's what the Brahma and the Devadas have spoken, right? So, sometimes you can see, suppose you are discussing something bad in this world. The parents were discussing, right? Parents are discussing about something, or they are talking bad about somebody, somebody did something, and parents are talking about it. Suddenly their son or daughter came there, who is young, not old enough to understand things, say 5 or 6 years old. What will the parents do at that time? Parents will change the subject straight away, is it not? Why do they do that? Because they don't want the child to hear that thing, right? So if the child will be very curious to find out, what are you talking about? About whom are you talking about? If the child asks, immediately the parents will change the whole story so that the child doesn't get affected by what you are talking about, right? And they will make the story in such a way so that the child will like the story in such a way. This always happens among the parents. Parents will be talking about something bad, what they have experienced at work or at something with the neighbors or some problem when they are talking to each other. Child comes in and they don't want the child to hear that. They feel that way strongly, yeah. So what do they do? They change the whole story different so that the child does not get affected by that. Shall not get affected by that, right? So if you ask a question, what is the truth there? Who is speaking the truth there? Has the parents done the right thing? Or did they tell a lie? No, the answer is, the effect on the child you have take notice of. Therefore, what you have spoken is the truth, even though it is not the actual thing, what happened. In your mind, you have experienced something else from others, right? And you are discussing about it. But when the child came, you have spoken something. What we have to understand is, the impact of what happened in you is what matters, not what happened in the world. The effect of that on you, that's what matters, right? So that means if you can protect a person, not allowing negative thoughts to develop inside him, that then it is truth. Whatever you speak in this world, if it does not create any negative thoughts in another person, then whatever you have spoken is the truth, right? So that is the benefit, that is the purpose of all the katha. In Bhagavatam, in Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, everywhere, we talk about katha, isn't it? The purpose of katha is not to create negativity inside, take you in a positive direction, right? That's what he said. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhudarnadu paramartyam. What is the idea of katha? Idea of katha is, in order to create vijnanam and vairagyam, daya, satyam, tapasya, arjavam. Iti sangalpya varnaya. You remember in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, what Brahma said to them, to Narada Maharshi, yatha harer bhagavati nirnam bhaktir bhavishyati sarvatman akhiladharam. Iti sangalpa varnaya. This is the principle, he says to Narada Maharshi, when you speak Srimad Bhagavatam. When you speak Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the principle behind it. Yatha harer bhagavati. If it is developing bhakti in a person, nirnam bhaktir bhavishyati, then sarvatman akhiladharam, Krishna, who is a sarvatma, present in everyone, with that sangalpam, you can explain Bhagavatam whichever way you like it. Sarvatman akhiladharam, iti sangalpa varnaya. With that sangalpam, you can expand on the Chadushlogi Bhagavatam, what was spoken. So Brahma says this to Narada Maharshi, and Narada Maharshi moves on from there and talk to Vedavyas later. So these are things to understand when you study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Because otherwise, if you take everything literally and start as it is, you say that everything is like this written and that's the only thing I will accept it. So otherwise what will happen is that you are not convinced yourself about it. And then like many devotees say, Prabhupada said like that, so you have to accept it because Prabhupada said like that. That's not how you say to people that there is a reason why the rishis have spoken in a particular way, right? So how one should be in Salsangam and how Bhagavatam should be spoken, that is what he is saying there. Sarvatman Aghiladharam Iti Sangalpa Varnaya, right? So you are hearing Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. How is that? So that it develops bhakti, it develops dhyanam, tyagam, shanti, all these things. In such a way, you should explain Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, right? Instead of just saying history behind what happened, talk about history of all what happened, what is the use from that? Nothing going to benefit from that, right? So, what it is that they were born, and they died, and they fought a battle, and they argued and quarreled each other, and these are how history will teach us like this, isn't it? If you look into the World War history and all that, what did we learn from that? What did we learn from studying the history of the World War II? We were told that Prime Minister went there and signed some agreement, and then Hitler didn't like it, and then he started the war, and he attacked Britain, Britain attacked them, and like this, whole details of this World War. Rishi's question is, what do you get from this? What are you going to get from this, right? And then they will tell you this happened in 1896 or 1914 or 1918. So, just like the politicians speak like that. Politicians talk like that, right? And history will tell you what happened in this place, what happened in that place. And therefore, in which year it happened. They give importance to all these kind of things. In which year it happened, where it happened, how it happened, things like that. And you have to study all these things and to remember all these things. And then when the examination comes, they will ask you all these questions. And you have to answer those questions also. Right? So, particularly these two world war, we were told to study. Remember the time when it happened. One happened in 1914, 1918. Other one happened, even now I remember, 1939 to 1945. This happened about 50, 60 years ago. It has not, that stayed as a vasana inside. And it's not leaving me now, if I want to get rid of that also. I don't want to remember those things at the time of death, which year world war happened. Does it help me anyway? No. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. If I have learned anything, that is what should come to my mind. No. But these remembrance of these years is more important, because in the history question paper, they will ask which year was World War I, which year was World War II, and all these kind of things, right? So, and did I get anything benefit from that? Except that I had to write the answers, right? And somebody killed somebody else. I don't know either side who killed whom, but I have to remember that. Somebody killed somebody else, and I have to remember that. And all kinds of big, big names, I was told that these are all the people who fought in the war, won the war, and things like that. Imagine my prarabdham to study all these things, right? So, instead of that, some great personality in the Puranams who has done some sacrifice, Syagam, Daya, if you say all these things, that's not history. That's not history, right? So, but instead, history means if you have attacked somebody and you have won the kingdom, conquered the kingdom, then it becomes history, right? So, good things happening in this world will not be spoken by the media, newspaper, television or anything. Everything that bad is going on will be continuously reported to this world. That is the nature. And what we call is paradoshanam. This paradoshanam, is it satyam, right? So, is that all the truth? So, what Shastram says is, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, and if Bhagavatam is affecting you, and if you are shedding tears from your eyes, then that is satyam. Or if you are meditating, inside your heart, there is some change happening, normalada, purification happens inside, that is satyam. If you are experiencing shanti inside, that is satyam, right? If you are developing this quality of arjavam, then it is satyam, right? If abhayam comes to you from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that is satyam, right? So, devi sambhata, what Krishna is talking about here, what is talking about is devi sambhata, right? So, anything that creates devi sambhata in a person is satyam. That's the principle. Do you understand the point here? Anything that is creating devi sambhata in a person is satyam, right? So that is the definition of satyam. Not that what you see through your eyes, only I will accept as the truth. That truth has no meaning at all. So sometimes what you have seen with your eyes may not be like the way you have seen it, right? In your mind you will see, feel many things about certain things, right? And everything, when you speak about something, your mind is interpreting that in a particular way. What you have seen with your eyes, your mind will interpret it in a particular way. And what kind of power do we have to see things properly? We don't have that power, right? So, suppose I write about my own biography. What, it's called autobiography, isn't it? Yeah, if I write my autobiography, what will I write? All the bad things I did won't be there in that. It will be natural, isn't it? So what value has it got then? What value has it got, right? And in my imagination, I will definitely conceal those things, whatever wrong things I have done. And if there is any good things, I'll project it in an exaggerated form to the world, right? So therefore, if I write a book like that, will anybody will get benefit from that? There will be no shanti, no samadhanam from that, right? So, only thing is people will read it and they will enjoy it like any other book, that's it. But it will only create hate, anger and negative thoughts inside that. So, this is how all the literature is in this world. Literature is written like that. People write various types of literature. They produce, isn't it, novels and short stories and all kinds of books. You can see the big bookshops how they publish all these books, right? So if you ask them that, just like disease spreads easily from one person to another, in the same way, they are transmitting their hate and anger and envy, everything, to others as well, right? If you ask them, they will say that, I'm only saying what has happened, they will say. That's why you have to be careful when you read all these books of the devotees also. What they are writing is what they have perceived with their own mind. They are interpreting it and giving it to you. And you have to take it like that. That is why better to stick to Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. All other books are a little bit dodgy. You have to be careful about reading them and start thinking they are all very, oh, they were there at the time Prabhupada was there, so he has. And all Prabhupada's many disciples have written many, many books also. And if you start accepting them all as authority in spiritual life, then you won't get very far. Because it is a problem that they don't understand this principle that anybody can write anything what they want, isn't it? They are interpreting with their own mind things. Yeah. So, Gandhiji wrote his autobiography, right? And he wrote also certain things what was wrong in his life. He wrote them in his book, right? So some people wrote to Gandhiji that that when I read all those things, I feel bad about it, what you have written in the books, right? And sometimes, because you have done all those things, I started thinking I can also do it. There's nothing wrong. They were seeing him as a saintly person. But when he said that certain bad things what he did in his life, he put it that in the autobiography. And those who read it started saying that, after reading your book, I have started feeling that there is no harm in doing that because you have done that. So it can happen in that way also, right? So mind is telling us that after doing all these things, if you can become a Mahatma, then why not I become a Mahatma doing the same thing? This is how mind will speak. Mind will interpret in that way. So this is a thing what you have to take into account when you read the books, when you look into the world outside, right? So therefore rishis are saying maunam, silence, is the best, right? So talking about things what will create shanti in another person, if you cannot talk about it, better to keep silent about it, right? So this katha, when we talk about katha, right? And similarly, the poets who wrote big literature, if you ask the question, is it all true? If you ask that question, right? For example, this story of Shakuntala in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Dushyanta and Shakuntala, famous story that is. Yeah, and there is Kalidas took that story. It is there in Mahabharatam and it is there in the Bhagavatam as well, right? And Shakuntalam in Mahabharatam and Shakuntalam in the Bhagavatam is slightly different, right? So Shakuntalam's story is a famous story. In the Mahabharatam, it's spoken in a very detailed way, elaborately, right? Kalidas took that and he wrote one of his classical literature called Abhijnana Shakuntalam from that story in the Mahabharatam, right? And when he wrote Abhijnana Shakuntalam, Kalidas has changed it also in his literature, right? So the thing is that Abhijnana Shakuntalam, many people liked it because it had a lot of principles spoken in there, right? So if people liked it very much. So if it was written in like that, if it is creating bhakti inside, if it is creating shanti inside, then it is fine. But satyam or truth is better not to talk about it very much. And once you decide that in your vyavaharam in this world, you will only speak the truth, if you have decided like that, that is a tapasya. That is a tapasya. In vyavaharam at least, if you will speak the truth, that is a tapasya, right? So instead, if you have spoken something to protect your ahankaram or ego, then it is a lie, to protect the ahankaram, right? So, but on the Paramarthiyam level, absolute level, Rishi's darshanam is like that. That is the way they see it, right? So there are a lot of interesting stories about it to make it understand to us how truthful one should be, how truthful one should be, and how it should be understood properly. Chandrasekhara Bharati, he is one of the older saints in the Sringeri Matham. The current Acharya's guru, his guru and his guru was, Chandrasekhara Bharati was the guru, his disciple was Abhinav Vidyatirtha. Abhinav Vidyatirtha's disciple is the current guru and his young person now, Vidyashekhara Bharati. So Chandrasekhara Bharati, when he was there, two Brahmana boys came to him, right? So in them days, the Brahmanas were looked down if they were not perform their Sandhya Vandanam. It was three Sandhyas, they should perform Sandhya Vandanam. That was mandatory for them, right? So the first question he asked them was, do you do your Sandhya Vandanam? He said to them, to the boys. Chandrasekhara Bharati asked them like that, right? One person said, I don't get time, so I don't do it, he said. He said, I'm busy, I don't get time, I'm not doing it. The other person said, I'm doing it, but actually he told a lie. The other Brahmana boy said a lie, right? After they left, the two boys left, right? Swamiji, there was another devotee sitting there. He asked that devotee that, in your opinion, out of those two people, who is better out of these two? One said that I don't do Sandhya Vandanam. The other one said that I am doing it, but he told a lie, right? So the first one who said that I don't do Sandhya Vandanam, so the devotee said, to whom he asked this question, he said that the first person, I will say that he has done the right thing because he has spoken the truth. I am not doing Sandhya Vandanam. He has spoken the truth, right? So Swamiji says, no, it is not like that, he said. Swamiji's reply was like that. His answer was, he said he is not doing it. The other person, he said, and it is already, he is not doing it, and he has justified it by saying that, I am not doing it. The first person who said, I don't do Sandhya Vandanam, and he feels okay with that, and he has justified that, because I don't get time for that. Right? The other person, feeling guilty inside, therefore he told that lie. Right? Therefore, he said, he told a lie that I am doing it, but he is guilty about it, what he has said, right? You can go and look at them, both of them, he said, he will start doing it now, the person. You see how things change. To understand others' mind is very difficult sometimes, isn't it? So in our calculation, the first person was right, isn't it? Because he spoken the truth. The other person, he said, I am doing it, but actually he was not doing it. But because Swamiji asked this question, Swamiji says to the devotee who was sitting there, sir, go and look at them, he'll be doing it now, he said. And that is how it is. So, whatever that takes you to, closer to the truth, right, that is satyam. So actually, even though he told a lie, actually he has spoken the truth. It's a difficult thing, isn't it, for us to understand that, the psychology behind it, right? So, anything what you use it for your own selfish reasons, for selfish purposes, that is all asatyam, right? How will you know all these things? That's the question, isn't it? Antaryami has to tell you. That's the only way you can know these things. Antaryami has to tell you from inside, right? Any word, when you utter, it is called vakshuddhi, the purity of your words, right? So, Rishi's words are like that. If they speak something, it will happen. That's the way to be understood. Satya pradishtayam kriya phalagatvam. Patanjali says like that. Satya pradishtayam kriya phalashragatvam, he says. So, one who is established in satyam, one who is fully established in the satyam, if they say something, it will happen that way. So, in that instance, When Chandrasekhara Bharati said that, he could see through that person, so much insight, that he has deliberately told a lie, but inside he is feeling guilty, now he will rectify himself. He had that full confidence to say that. And then later on he started doing it properly, every day Sandhyavandanam, right? So, there is a lot of instances like that to understand that the power of a sage or power of a rishi, when they speak something, they are speaking from the absolute platform. They are not speaking from the mundane platform. Vivekananda went to America, and then at that time he was living in Thousand Islands, and there was a park there, and he was staying in that park, and he has become very popular after the World Parliament of Religions and everything. And after the World Parliament of Religions, he went there and he was living in a park. He was sleeping there in the park, right? So a lot of people started coming there to visit him, to see him, right? And so when a lot of people started visiting him, he didn't want all that things. He just wanted to be left alone, right? So he said that my guru, he is referring to Paramahamsa, he was sitting in a small room in Dakshineshwaram, where their matam is there, right? And for maximum 5 or 10 people may come in a day to see him, right? And what he was able to give to the few people, if thousands of people come to me, I won't be able to give that. What he has given to the few people in Dakshineshwar, right? So, therefore, I have come to this Thousand Islands Park just to be away from everything for isolation, to remain in solitude, right? So once it so happened, two women came there. This is all in the Ramakrishna Vajranamatam, you can read these things, right? So two women came there who heard Swamiji talking in the parliament in Chicago, right? So they took a lot of effort. They were older women, and they have taken a lot of effort to come to Thousand Islands to see Swamiji, after hearing that Swamiji is sleeping in the park there, right? And that night it was raining heavily, it was dark as well, and they came there, and they wanted to talk to Swamiji. And so you can see this jijnyasa, inquisitiveness, is there. There's a spiritual force that comes from inside. And when it comes, you will do anything what is necessary to fulfill your need, right? So they also, after hearing, first time they were hearing from a sannyasi, from the Sanatana Dharma tradition, and they couldn't believe it, the way he spoke about things, karma yogam, raja yogam, bhakti yogam, things they have never heard of before. As far as they are concerned, their spiritual life is limited, very limited, is it not? But the rishi's way of presenting things, and particularly after he spoke in that parliament, these women who heard that, they were in a shock to hear that such a knowledge existed in this world, which they never heard, because in them days, we didn't have all the media and everything, is it not? You can imagine what it was like, right? So, so after hearing that, they couldn't believe it, and they wanted to see Swamiji at any cost, right? So he said to him that, we have come to you, the women are telling him, we have come to you because we know Jesus Christ is still living in this world, he said. About Vivekananda is saying like that, yeah? And we would have gone to him at any cost. Similarly, we have come, he said. The women told the Vivekananda in that way, right? Vivekananda is saying to them, right, you have come, he said, I wish I have that power, he said, that with which, if I tell you, that you will be able to behold, in other words, that you will feel perfect inside, right? So, in other words, what he's saying, that if I had the power, so that if I say something, you become perfect inside. That purnatvam, what Ishvanishad says, that purnatvam will come to you, he said. So this is the strength of the words of a rishi, words of a rishi, right? If he says to you that you become perfect with that, right? But life is like that. One word is enough, right? One instance, what happened was, one doctor, this is in Ramana Maharshi's ashram, this incident happened. His name was Padmanabha, that is his name, right? So he was having a lot of problems in his life. So somehow or the other, he managed to find a profession for him. At that time, things were a little different, right? So he wanted to, and he was a devotee also. He used to come to the ashram, listen to lectures and everything. So when he got his position somewhere, occupation, he had to move from there. So wanted to say to Maharshi that I've got this position and all that, right? So in the morning time, Maharshi used to wander around everywhere. And he was going to the Goshala. They had a small Goshala, a few cows there. So he was going to see them. So he went there and offered his obeisances, and he wanted to start talking to him about it. He said that, I'm going away because I've got this job somewhere else, right? So Maharshi looked at him for some time, and then he started telling him like this, right? The Maharshi's instructions were always like that. To different people, he will instruct them differently. He said to them that you look after life, but always try to remain within yourself, as in the, you know, with awareness that body is not you, consciousness of the soul, right? So a lot of people used to come to him at that time. There's a story of Bob Cohen, who used to come in American, I think he was. He used to came and saw him, right? And he was a Jewish person. And then he later on became a Muslim. And then he has come to see Maharshi after that, right? So when he came there, he had got his hat on his head, and then the shoes were on and things like that, right? And came in with the trousers on, right? So there were some people who were attending to Maharshi at that time. They told him that, at least remove your hat and the shoes while going to see him, he said. He could not take it. He could not accept that, right? So ultimately he went inside, right? He didn't hear anything. When he got closer to Maharshi, Maharshi spoke to him like that. You can come in with the shoes, he said. Maharshi told him like that, right? And Maharshi said that, he immediately removed the shoes and kept it outside. It happened the other way. Maharshi told him, you can keep the shoes, he said. Then he realized that there is a system. So he didn't hear when the attendants told him, but he did it when the Maharshi, even without asking him, he did that. So that is, so when Maharshi said like that, immediately removed his hat, removed his shoes and came in, right? So we can ask this question that what the Guru has spoken, how should we accept, understand it, right? That is the crux of this, right? Lakshyartham, you should think, not Vachyartham. You understand that? Lakshyartham, Vachyartham. Vachyartham is literal meaning. Lakshyartham is the goal. Always goal should be, you have to think whatever Guru has spoken and written in the books. You have to see the goal and accordingly you have to do things. Not literally what he says. That is the problem most of the people have got, is it not? They read the books and they follow literally. That is called Vachyartham. So Lakshyartham is important. So he told him, you can come with the shoes, he said. But then he removed the shoes outside, right? And he went inside. So the power of the words is like that, right? So Satyapradishtitam, that means one who is established in the truth, when he speaks something, the effect you have to look at, not the words what they have spoken, the effect in the others, right? So similarly, if a person says to somebody, like this doctor, he told him that you be happy in your life, Saukhyam, be happy in the life, he said, then you will remain happy in the rest of the life, right? So that is why Thai Manavar said the same thing. He said that Guru spoke something, and from that onwards I am always at peace. The power, the strength of the words, right? Satya Pratishtam, right? So, in Kali Yuga, maintaining this Satyam itself is a tapasya. It is a tapasya. So, there are so many stories about all these things to make it clear. Gandhiji was in the prison. At that time, lot of people were protesting against that because he was put in the prison. The whole country was protesting and there was a lot of problems. And at that time, Gandhiji won't hear anything because he's inside the prison. You know, there was no media like today. Today, if you go to toilet, the whole world will know about it. That's the modern world. But at that time, it was different. No information is available. Gandhiji was in the prison. And what was happening outside was not known to him, right? So, they won't supply newspapers to him. Because if he reads the newspaper and see what's going on, it could create problem further, right? Similarly, no instruments were allowed inside. So, the people who are outside, they wanted Gandhiji to know what is going on outside. They wanted that, right? And it is that incident what happened. So, the arrangement was that every day a doctor will go in to see Gandhiji in the room. A doctor will go to see him, right? And when he goes, because the system was that, because anything happens to Gandhiji, then the whole country will be like a fire, on fire. So the jail authorities made sure that Gandhiji's health is okay, and he is eating properly, he's resting properly, and they want him to live, they didn't want him to die, but at the same time, they were conscious that if anything happens to him, there will be a total revolution in the country. That was the way things were happening at that time, right? So, therefore, what they did was, every day a doctor has to go inside. And when doctor goes, the jail people won't question anything. It's a doctor who is coming. They will let him in. He'll go there, examine. The doctor will examine and he will go back. That's all. So what they did, these people outside, what they did, the doctor is going inside every day. So they have given him the newspaper to him and told him, you take it inside and give it to Gandhiji, they said, inside the prison, right? So, and they wanted to know what Gandhiji had to say about it. When the next day when you go, Gandhiji would have read the paper and he would have told, he will tell you what he has to say and then you come and tell us everything about it, right? So, he took the newspaper inside the doctor. And when he went there inside, he didn't tell Gandhiji anything. What he did, he took the newspaper from his bag and put it there on his bed. And he came back, thinking that Gandhiji will read it. Thinking like that, right? So, next day, when he went there, the newspaper is lying there at the same place where he left it. It has not even moved from there, right? Gandhi says to him that in this inside prison, it's prohibited inside the prison to read the newspaper. So, you kept it on my bed, so I had to sleep on the floor. So, nobody's going to say anything about it, but they are not important for me. Antaryam is important, Gandhiji said to them. Antaryam is important. So, this way, to be conscious of Antaryami, and what Antaryami dictates, you take it as the ultimate thing, and this is called tapasya. Tapasya means this, right? So you see here, ahimsa, the different things what he has spoken there. Dhanam, damam, yajnam, swadhyayam, tapasya, arjavam, ahimsa, satyam. Ahimsa, satyam, akrodam, tyaga, shandir, aveshunam. Daya, bude, shaloluptam, mardavam, hri, rachapalam. Teja kshama dridhar shaujam nadroho adhimanida deviga sambadam devi abhijadasya bharata. Krishna has said in that way. So every quality, what Krishna is saying, that if these things comes to you, the divine nature you have. If you don't have these qualities, that means we have both divine and demoniac nature in us. Yeah? So you will see like that. So, So for him, he said that Antaryami is more important for me than anything else. Gandhiji said like that, right? Not to convince others that I am a truthful person, but I am answerable to the Antaryami inside. Satyavratam, Satyavratam. So that is the reason that in Bhagavatam, Krishna was called as Satyasya Satyam. He is a Satyasya Satyam. He is, right? So Mundaka Upanishad also, this mantra is there. How will you get that Antaryami Atma? Satyena Labhyade. Satyam, Tapasya, Samyak Jnana, Brahmacharyam. Through that you have to get it, right? And that means without cheating, lying, and without any selfish interest, if you are able to remain like that, that is Satyam. Akrodham, Dvesham, Kopam, Krodham, Kamam, Tyagam, Bhayam. As Krishna mentioned before, Vida Raga Bhaya Krodham. Her relation with the child is not Krodham. For example, a child don't listen, right? But she doesn't have Krodham. That is not Krodham, not Dvesham, right? So Krodham is due to Dvesham, that emotion that comes in a person's mind. Due to Dvesham, an emotion comes inside, that is called Krodham. Dvesham means hate, and that turns into Krodham. Turns into Krodham, right? So not having that Krodham. In mother's relationship with the child is like that. There is no Dvesham, there is no Krodham either. Is it not? A mother-child relationship is like that. Mother doesn't have a Dvesham towards a child. It's her own child, and there is no Krodham there either. So that Krodham, one has to become free from that. Ahimsa, Satyam, Arjavam, Akrodham, Tyagam. If you have all these things, Shanti will come. So these three verses, what we have seen so far, are important. From now on, Krishna is going to talk about the Asuri Sambhata, the demoniac nature, right? And as I said yesterday also, there is not much to discuss about Asuri Sambhata, because we are in the middle of this Asuri Sambhata, isn't it? Television, newspaper, all the media, they will teach us what Asuri Sambhata is. We don't have to learn particularly what Asuri Sambhata is. That is why Asuri Sambhata is not normally discussed when Bhagavad Gita is spoken, because everyone easily can understand what Asuri Sambhata means if we have some common sense, right? Wherever you look, you will see what you see is Asuri Sambhata. Devi Sambhata you won't find, right? So, important thing is, Devi Sambhata, one should anusandhanam or dhyanam. One should meditate upon Devi Sambhata. One should analyze it, Devi Sambhata. And one should perform anusandhanam of that, right? Asuri Sambhata, in a few words we can complete that, talk about it, right? In the Bhagavadam, in the fifth canto, at the end, one chapter is talking about the hellish planets, is it not? Fifth canto, the last chapter, 28th chapter, is hellish planets, right? What kind of hellish planets exist and how you will be treated there in these different hellish planets, Kumbhi Bhagam, and similarly Asitapatram. There are a lot of lists mentioned there, kind of hellish planets they have divided. What kind of treatment you get there, right? If you read the fifth canto, you will know that, right? And when you read that explanation in the fifth canto, you will start thinking, has Shuka Brahmarshi gone and seen all these things? The way he has spoken about it in detail, about the hellish planets, you get the impression that whether Shri Shuka Brahmarshi has gone and seen all these hellish planets to report to us in the way he has done, right? Actually, it is spoken to frighten us. All those things. It's been written to frighten us, right? What was the idea of this description of the hellish planets, right? Just like in the dream, sometimes you get some bad dreams, very bad dreams, right? Why is it that these hellish planets, similarly bad dreams, why do they come? Actually, it is Krishna's mercy. These bad dreams, right? Because what you are supposed to experience in the vacant state due to your karma, Krishna has given, substituted that to give you that experience in the dream state, and that way get you out from that. Brahmacharya says this. They know these things better than us, isn't it? They are saying to us that if you get very bad dreams sometimes, you have to think like this, that something you would have normally experienced in the vacant state, out of mercy, because you have probably taken Krishna's shelter, or you have chanted Hare Krishna, or taken his shelter, therefore Krishna has given you that in the dream state, and finished your prarabdham that way, instead of going through that with that in the vacant state. Right? So imagine that some of the things what you dream, suppose it happened in the vacant state, imagine what would have happened. Right? So that has finished that with the dream state. Similarly, this Asuri Sambhata, what we are talking about, the demonic nature, right? These two things are inside us. Asuri Sambhata is there, Devi Sambhata is also there. But only thing what you can do is, currently we have got both inside us. Always play your attention on the Devi Sambhata. If your Shraddha is always on the Devi Sambhata, and never look at the Asuri Sambhata, what is inside us. Don't give any attention to that, right? Because if you start giving attention to that, it will build up inside. You see? Devi Sambhata, Asuri Sambhata. Divine nature, demonic nature. They are both inside us. What Krishna is saying is, pay all your attention on the Devi Sambhata side, the divine nature, divine qualities. Demonic nature, if you start giving attention, it will start growing inside. Right? So, and therefore, that is a negative side. One should not pay attention to that. And that is why in some of these temples, there animal sacrifices happens. Right? And similarly, there are certain deities, Brahmarakshasa, Pitrudevadas, all these things worshipped in the temples. Right? They are all there, and they don't come closer to us. And you remain in a isolated state. So, that is the reason in many, many temples you will see, not all temples, in many temples, that there are certain devadas worshipped there and certain offerings are made to them so that they don't affect others. They are pacified in that way, right? So, that is what Krishna is going to say. Devi Sambad Vimokshaya Nibhannai Asuri Matam Devam Vistarasha Prokta Asura Parthame Shrunu. Next verse he will say this. Look at the way how Krishna puts that in the next verse. Yeah. If you go in the fifth verse, if you look at it, Devi Sambad Vimokshaya Nibhannai Asuri Mata Ma Shucha Sambadam Devi Abhijavadase Pandava. And then do bhuta sargo logesmin devam asuram evacha devo vistaresha prokta asuram partham ishrano. Those two verses 5 and 6. So you saw this here, that tejakshama dridir shaujam nadroho atimanida bhavandi sambadam devi abhijadasya bharata. So the thing is that devi sambhata, Krishna says one should pay attention to. Asuri Sambhata, one should ignore it. It is there inside us, but not to give attention to that. Then he started talking about Asuri Sambhata, the demonic nature. And then he said those two verses. He said that Devi Sambhad Vimokshaya Nibhandaya Asuri Mada. Asuri Sambhata he spoke in one verse. Dambam Darpam Bhimanascha Krotham Parushya Mevaja Ajnanam Chabijadasya Partha Sambhadam Asurim, he said. That's Asuri Sambhata. In one verse he spoke. Whereas Devi Sambhata, he spoke in three verses. Asuri Sambhata, he finished in one verse. And then he said these two verses. What is that? He said, Devi Sambhad Vimokshaya Nibhandaya Asuri Mata Ma Shuja Sambhadam Devi Abhijadosi Pandava. Do Bhuda Sargo Logesvin Devam Asuram Evacha Devam Vistarasha Prokta Asuram Parthame Shrunu. So the point is, Krishna is saying there, these devam asuram, these two things, are there in everybody, right? Devi Sambhata helps you to become free, to get released from the bondage. Asuri Sambhata binds you to the material world, right? And then he said, Ma Shuja, don't cry, he says to Arjuna. Why? Devi Abhijadosi Pandava, you are born with Devi Sambhata. Krishna said to Arjuna, Devi, Ma Shuja Sambhadam Devi Abhijadosi Pandava, you are born with Devi Sambhata, you don't have to worry about it, he said. Then he said, Dau Bhudo Sargo Logesmin Devam Asuram Evacha, Devam Visarasha Prokta Asuram Parthameshwarano. So, Krishna says, I have spoken to you in detail about the Devi Sambhata, but Asura Sambhata I will talk to you in summary, in a very summary form, right? So earlier Krishna said, Ahimsa Satyam Akrodam Tyaga Shandri Abhayashunam Daya Bodhe Shalolyuptam Margavam Hri Rajapalam Teja Kshama Dridra Shaujam Nadroho Adhimanida Deviya Sambhadam Devi Abhijadasya Bharata, he said. So Krishna said that as an introduction to Devi Sambhata, that these are things of in a person who has got Chitta Shuddhi, one who has got Chitta Shuddhi, right? And in middle of that, Krishna mentioned about Ahimsa, Satyam, all these things, right? So Devi Sambhata is like the flavor comes from a flower, right? When Krishna consciousness comes in a person's heart, right, it is automatically comes out from that person like a flavor comes from the, a smell comes from the flower. In a similar way, one who has got Devi Sambhata, one who has got bhakti inside, from him, this Devi Sambhata will naturally come from him, in a natural way, right? These things are seen in the yogis, great yogis, jnanis, similarly great devotees, Bhagavadas. The natural way, you will find these things in them. If you take attention of that, you will find these qualities in them, in a natural way, in them, right? So, the absence of these things is the lack of spirituality in a person, this Devi Sambhata, right? Sometimes people who are doing sadhana, called the sadhakas, they will say like this, I'm not able to make much progress on the spiritual life. People say like that, isn't it? People say that I'm not able to make much progress in spiritual life, right? What they mean by that is, they are not able to meditate, or they are not able to chant properly, or sometimes they hear some sound while chanting or while meditating, and at that time their mind gets immediately distracted from that. They give importance to all these things, right? But Krishna didn't say such things. While doing sadhana, what's happening? Krishna says, no, that's not what is important. He says, whereas Krishna is saying that if these qualities are there in you, that means you are strong spiritually inside. If you are strong inside spiritually, these qualities will come out from you like a smell coming from a flower in a garden. Suppose it's a rose garden, how the smell of the roses will come? In a similar way, from inside, these qualities will come out from that person. That's the way Krishna puts it. Krishna is not accepting, like when we do sadhana, suppose you are getting distractions in the mind, or while chanting, or while meditating, or while reading, whatever it is. If your mind is wandering around here and there, Krishna said, based on that, you don't decide your spiritual position, spirituality. You decide your spirituality, your spiritual position, based on if these qualities are there coming out from you, on that basis, right? So basically what Krishna is saying is, you should look into these qualities more than what, instead of analyzing your sadhana. You see, people analyze their sadhana, isn't it? When they are chanting, I'm not able to chant properly, my mind is going all over the place, Sometimes they are not able to chant, and then they feel that they are very down in spiritual life. Krishna says that is not how you look at it. This Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti Danam Damashtayatnyascha Swadhyaya Stava Arjavam, those first three verses, Krishna says they are inside a person who is progressing in spiritual path. So to the extent or to the degree, if these qualities are coming out from you in your life in this world, what Krishna has spoken, that means that you are making spiritual progress. That's what it means. That's a way to analyze the spiritual status of a person. So, for example, sometimes people are seeking for some personal benefit, and people analyze their spiritual life in that way. That they, when they were meditating, sometimes people say, I was meditating and sometimes in my, while chanting, I dreamt this, I dreamt that. And on that basis they evaluate themselves, that how spiritually progress they are making, right? And yogis will say their kundalini has started rising, and jnanis will say in a different way, devotees will say in a different way. All that means is that like you are trying to achieve something in this world outside, similarly in spiritual life also you are trying to achieve something. Do you get the point? You see, in material life, this is how you analyze situations, isn't it? Your success depends on the results, you say. So in the same way, in spiritual life also, people do it. To think that they are successful in spiritual life, they are trying to analyze it this way. Thinking that their experiences in spiritual life, they are looking at it, right? So, what we have to understand, what Krishna is pointing is this, that what you have already got it, what is that Antaryami inside, it's not something that you have to get later in the future. It's already there inside us, right? So, Krishna is not something that you have to acquire from the world outside, from the world outside, right? So, that is why it is said that Atma, the soul, you cannot acquire it. You cannot acquire it, right? Because we are Atma, that is our Swarupam, right? And it is Nitya Siddham, it is already available to us. And we are all, the important thing this is, because we, due to our conditioning in the world, in the material life, we try to bring the same principles to spiritual life. What Krishna is saying here is that Atma does not have to come from anywhere, from outside. It's already inside as Antaryami. And if you, only thing is, due to avidya inside it is covered, and already you are perfect inside, but if you don't have all these qualities inside you now, if you are, it is going to come from outside tomorrow, it will not stay. You know that principle, what Krishna said before, is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita, what he said that something what you already, something what is going to come, mean, if it has to come from outside, it will not stay, it will go also. Unless these qualities are inside you now, it won't be there in the future, unless it is there now. You see that principle? In the second chapter, the famous verse, Nasodo Vidyade Bhav. That verse, if you understand properly, Nasodo Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada. If you understand that verse, what Krishna is going to tell us, Antaryami inside has got all these qualities inside you already. All these qualities are inside there. So, Nasodo Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada. Similarly, things which has, if it has to come from outside, if all these qualities, if you have to cultivate them, and if it has to come from outside, it won't stay. It will come and it will go. It won't stay, right? Ubhayorabhidhishtandam, who has, Tattvadarshis have spoken this before. Rishis have spoken this before. So in the same way, just now, right now, if we don't have that, in the same way it can happen in the future also. You may lose all these things. Therefore, all you have to do is, you have to remove that covering of the Antaryami from avidya what we have created, which is all the demonic qualities which is present due to jiva bhavam, ahankaram, once you wipe them off, you have become free from that. All the qualities are already inside, right? So Krishna has spoken this. That is why he said that, you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandava. There's a verse earlier, isn't it? Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandava. That's what that verse is saying. Ajnanam has to go, tena muhyanti, because ajnanam creates muhyanti, illusion in a person. Tena muhyanti jandava, right? Tena muhyanti jandava. So, knowledge, jnanam, is present in everybody, but because jnanam is the surubam of the atma, shanti is surubam of the atma, right? And that shanti we are not experiencing now. Why is that? Because of the presence of the mind inside, right? So, because we give importance to the mind, therefore, we are not experiencing that shanti at the moment. We say the clouds have covered the sun, right? But the fact is that we get to know the cloud exists because the sun is behind it. That's why we get to know of the existence of the cloud, right? Clouds. Similarly, when I say that, I don't understand anything. When you say like that, that itself is your knowledge. That's a knowledge inside, that you are not knowing anything, right? And above everything else, our very existence itself, astitvam, right? That experience, that I exist, that awareness, bodham, that itself is sukha-surupam. Krishna is saying that. Anandam shanti. So this is how this verse Krishna is concluding, the divine nature, making us understand how to look at ourselves and understand how spiritual life is to be understood. You see, normally our nature is that what we are used to, we bring it into spiritual life and we started evaluating ourselves on the basis of that. And we tell others, oh Prabhu, I want to be humble, but I can't be humble, what can I do? And things like that, people say like that, devotees also say that. I want to be humble, but I don't know what I can do. But that is not how it is. It's not in your hands, actually. What it is the avidya inside Krishna says like, that is why he has used that word, abhijadasya varada, everywhere. He says it's already there in everyone. The problem is that the avidya, asuric nature, is so much inside. The asuric nature, if you get rid of, automatically the Devi Sambhat will come out from in a person. So more focus should be getting rid of the asuri Sambhat from inside than the cultivating the Devi Sambhat. Devi Sambhat is already there inside everyone, right? So. This scientific research, which we call it as modern scientific research, right? Gaveshanam, right? And the Sanskrit word for research is Gaveshanam. Gaveshanam, right? Gava means cow. Inquiring about the cow. That's a word in Sanskrit for this. This research is called Gaveshanam, right? In the olden days, the cows will leave home and they will be wandering around in so many places. And the owner of the cow will go in the evening looking for the cow, where it is, to bring it back to the house, right? And it is from that this word Gaveshanam comes in Sanskrit. We call it a research, isn't it? In the modern scientific research, they call it research. Research word in Sanskrit, it is called a Gaveshanam. Gaveshanam comes from this habit. Then the cows were left free to go in the morning. They'll go leave home and go and wander around grazing somewhere. And in the evening, the owner of the cow will go and bring the cow back home. And he will be inquiring for the cow where it is, loitering wherever it is, doing that, right? So, this scientific research is like that. It is busy with inquiring about the world outside, instead of inquiring about yourself. You are inquiring about everything else and you are doing research on that, right? So, So what did, why it is said like that is that everything what you are inquiring outside is not touching you. It's nothing to do with you. The real you, you are not touching that. You are doing research on all other things. For example, this earth is round. By getting to know that, what did I get from that? By getting to know that the earth is not, earth is a globe and it is moving around in this way. So it is just remains as a chitavritti inside me. And by knowing that earth is round, did my shandi inside get better when I thought that the earth was flat? Initially I thought the earth was flat, right? But then science told me that earth is not flat, earth is round like this. So by knowing the earth is round instead of flat, is my shandi inside changed? That shandi, I am still having the same shandi inside, right? So it didn't make any change in me, did it? It didn't have any impact on me. So, and due to that, that krita krityada, what Krishna spoke about, hasn't happened. And due to knowing this, I'm not saying that I want to know something more. That means fulfillment has not happened. This kind of knowledge, right? So that knowledge which makes a person to say that I don't want to know anything anymore, that is knowledge. That is knowledge. Any knowledge that makes you feel complete, that is called a knowledge. Perfection comes like that. And that only will give you some utility, right? So knowledge, when it remains unaffected from the knower, one who is knowing things, and if the knowledge is separately from him, then that knowledge is useless. That knowledge is useless. In other words, right, that is based on spirituality, I'm saying. Spiritually, if the knowledge is separate from the knower, then that knowledge is useless. Spiritually, right? Spiritually, it is not useful. That is why they are saying, Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavadi, that this knowledge, that is the difference between spiritual knowledge and material knowledge. Material knowledge, you know, you get to know things, you keep it in your mind or memory, and then you use it wherever you want to use it, and then you leave it. The way it has come, it will go. It won't stay. But spiritual knowledge, on the other hand, if it has come inside and you have become that, means that you have become that knowledge, in other words. And that is when you say that spiritual knowledge has affected you, right? So, spiritually, it is only beneficial when this knowledge affects the person who has this knowledge. That means the knowledge is impacting you, only then it is of some use to that person, right? So, how should it do that? How should that knowledge affect in a person? And that is why in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Bhrigu talks about that, a long statement, many, many verses. Bhrigu is talking about this change that happens in a person, right? What is Brahmam? The famous verses in the Upanishad about that. And every time he inquires about it, and then he is not satisfied, and he goes back to Varuna and asks about it again. And Varuna replies that, right? So, Anandam Brahme Divya Janat, Anande Janandi Jeevandi, Anandam Samvishandi. So, Esha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya Pradishtadam Pradishtadi. So, what happened? At the end, Bhrigu says to Varuna that now I have nothing to ask anymore. Why? Because he has realized it. The knowledge has changed him. He has become the knowledge, in other words, right? So, Brahma Vidya is like that. With that, Esha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. That Varuni Vidya. That Vidya finished there. There is no further education or anything after that. So, knowledge comes to an end. That is why it is called the end of knowledge. Vedandam. Vedam means knowledge. Vedanta means the end of knowledge. There is no more further research, no more further to know anything, right? So that means that the knowledge is finished in the knower. The knowledge is finished in the knower. We can look at the Taittiriya Upanishad, second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, sixth chapter, all about this. Taittiriya Upanishad talks about this Bhrigu and Varuna conversation, and that is what it is, right? So once that complete shanti comes inside, then there is no more further inquiry, and there is no more wandering after that. And if he is still wandering around, it means shanti has not come yet, right? So that means if he still wants to do something in this world after that, that means shanti has not come. Shanti has not come, right? And similarly, if you want to know further something, that means shanti has not come, right? And if you want to give up something, if you feel like that, that means shanti has not come. Jihasa, jiknyasa, prayapsa, chigirsha. These are what it is called. These are all symptoms of that. So, when do you say that this spiritual life is complete? That's when you say that. You don't want to know anything anymore. You don't want to give up anything anymore. Because he realized it, that there is nothing to be given up. And and similarly, if you want to do something in this world, that desire also has gone from you. You want to do something in this world, that desire has gone. You want to know something more, that desire has gone. And you want to give up something in this world, that desire has also gone. Right? So that is the shanti state, what Krishna talks about. Atma Swarupam, and it will not allow, shanti will not come inside as long as if any of those things are not fulfilled completely, right? So these shortcomings, what you find inside us, all of us, it's called the mind. It is called the mind, right? Mind is not a matter-like thing. What is mind? Mind is this feeling that I'm missing something, I need something to complete myself. That not being fulfillment, not fulfilled, that feeling of non-fulfillment inside, right? So, so that's what he's saying there. If everything has become perfect, then there won't be any mind anymore operating inside, right? And when there is shanti, then getting angry and violence, all these things, if it is still coming, fear as well as hate, if this is still coming, that means the mind is operating. And when does the mind come? When there is a shortage of the knowledge. Shortage of knowledge. So, definition of the mind is, there is many definitions. In Shastram, they will say Sangalpa Vigalpam Mana. Sangalpam, vigalpam, if it is happening inside, that is one definition, right? So, therefore, generally they will say, the mind is nothing but chittavritti, thought waves, right? So, mind is actually a limitation in our life, and that is what is making this Atma parichinam. Parichinam means that you feel that Atma, it's like if you look into the world, so many living entities, and we start thinking there is one Atma here, one Atma there, one Atma in another person. This feeling is created by the mind. Mind creates that feeling, right? Whereas Atma's very nature, it is akhandam. It cannot be broken, right? So, but when mind comes in, it starts limiting everybody to the body, to the mind, and ahankaram, ego, everything. So that limitation is called mind. When you are in the shanti state, mind is not operating. At that time, that is Atma. Some people will say like that, what is Atma? Atma means, will that be, you will experience something inside like a light when you are doing the meditation, right? You know what happens in when you see the movies, cinema, they will show like this, that some people, there will be an effulgence around their head. You know, to make us understand that that person is spiritually very realized in that way, right? So, but Atma Swarupam cannot be spoken in that way. It is not possible, right? It is like Agni. Agni swallows everything. Same way, in Sushupti, what happens to us? All our things, what we got, it's all swallowed up by Sushupti, is it not? Sushupti swallows our body. Body goes. Subtle body goes away completely. So everything that is swallowed inside, that is the Sushupti state, right? And along with that, me, you, the world, he, she, body, all these things is swallowed in one lot in Sushupti, right? So there you are in the state, what is called a Nirvishesham. And therefore, Esha Ha Atma, Upanishad says. Therefore, that is Atma, right? So, in the Jagrat state, in the same way, if you are able to say like that, stay like that you are in the Sushupti, Nirvishesham state, then in Shanti state, then it is called Atma. So this Atma, the mind, these two things, we have to understand the way Upanishads have spoken about it. So Upanishads are saying that if you are feeling this experience of seminal things existing, Namarupam, existing here, and me, you, he, all these thoughts are going inside, that means mind is operating. When those things disappear and not seeing anymore the existence of different entities, instead one Atma present in everyone, that means you are in that Shanti state, Atma. So, and in that Atma state, state of Atma, these qualities, the demonic qualities, what Krishna has spoken, doesn't exist. Dambam darpo bhimanascha krodham bhairushyam evaja ajnanam chabijadasya. Because if you are in the state of Atma, ajnanam is not there. Partha sambadam asurim. Asuri qualities are all belonging to the ahangaram. Ahangaram has gone, so therefore asuri qualities have also gone from there. Right. One person asked, what is samadhi? Samadhi, the answer is, when you, me, he, all these things don't exist, that is samadhi, right? So, just like in the deep sleep state, me, you, and he, she, all these things don't exist, so that is samadhi, right? So, and so samadhi is not a state. It's not a state. Samadhi is a nature of Atma. Atma's original state is samadhi state, right? Samadhi is Atma, Atma Swarupam. And when in that Shanti state or Samadhi state, when does Vikalpam comes? Vikalpam means these things, these emotions, anger, hate, greed, lust, all these kind of things, me, you, he, she, all these things, when they come, when they come, there is a disturbance inside, right? Some problem has happened about something, right? And when things happen like that, that is called Vikalpam. So you see this word Vikalpam, Sangalpam, Vikalpam. Vikalpam means that. That in your Shanti state, something happened and disturbance happened inside. And that disturbance is called Vikalpam. It's called Vikalpam, right? And when Vikalpam comes, so mind, what Krishna, you see the definition of the mind. Sangalpam, Vikalpam, Mana. Sangalpam is that in your imagination you are building up so many things. That's Sangalpam. Vikalpam means in your Shanti state, something comes and disturbs that Shanti inside. That's Vikalpam, right? So that Vikalpam, how do you get it out? Get rid of that. It says here that through bhakti, through alpa vicharam, self-inquiry, through japam, through dhyanam, through salsangam, or finally, ultimately crying to Krishna for help, somehow or the other, if you are able to get rid of the Vikalpam from inside and remain in the state of Shanti, na chalayet. Krishna mentions that. Na chalayet, right? No necessity to do any sadhana, but this Shanti state is the goal, ultimately, right? So, when you are in the Shanti state, what do you do? And when Ashanti, when you have no Shanti, how to become from that Ashanti state to Shanti state, that is what is called spiritual life. Adhyalpam. Adhyalpam means that. From the Ashanti state to come to the Shanti state, right? If you have Shanti, you don't need anything else. So Shruti says like that, Shandi, you have to do the Uvasana for Shandi, it says. You will see all the Upanishad mantram with that, Om Shandi, Shandi, Shandi Hi, right? So all the problems, they are, the other things are called dosham. Dosham means anger, greed, lust, envy, pride, all sorts of things, what comes from into the mind and creates the mind, right? So, whichever way you like it. So, for different people, different kinds of sadhana, right? So, Krishna spoke about a sadhana directly, what one should do in the 6th chapter, when he is talking about this vikalpam, yeah? If you look into the 6th chapter, Krishna is saying there that the that is an interesting chapter, that 6th chapter. Shanai shanai ubaramayet, ubaramayet, buddhya dhriti grihidaya, atma samstam manakrutva, na kinchit api chindayet. This is what happens when you have become free from the mind and you are established in the self. That's the answer for that. Shanai shanai ubaramayet, Krishna knows that it is not going to happen in a day. So he said there that atma samstam manakrutva, he says, Shanai Shanai Rubaramed, Buddhi, Buddhya Dhriti Grihidaya, Atma Samstam Manakritva, Na Kinchidapi Chindayet. Krishna put it like that, right? So, able to dissolve the mind in the Andaryami and not allowing any more thought waves to come inside, right? Tushnim Babhuva, in the Bhagavadam. Tushnim Babhuva, right? So, able to remain in this world and in the Vavaharam to remain very alert about it, right? So, in Adhyalpa Jeevitam or in spiritual life, there is no compromise. That is the standard, what Krishna is saying there. Atma Samstam Manakritva. You have to destroy the mind and move to the platform of Atma, to the soul. Not that you destroy the soul and become perfect in the mind. That is not possible. Yeah, so spiritual life there is no compromise, right? So suppose I'm saying that I'm in spiritual life, I'm doing my chanting, japam, dhyanam, yogam, and things like that, and then I live a life which is full of violence, anger, hate, and if I live a disorderly life and cheating others and lying to others, these two things won't go together. Won't go together. So, on one side you are doing the spiritual sadhana, what you are saying. You are doing japam, dhyanam, and all the other deity worship or whatever you are doing. On the other side, you are doing cheating, lying, and all other kinds of things, right? Envy, pride, is these things. These two things won't go together. That is what he is saying there in that verse. Yeah, Atma samstam manakritva na kinchit api chindayet, he is saying. There is no question of doing these two things together. If you are in spiritual life, this is what it is expected. That 25th verse. So, a person who is in the spiritual path, what his state is, if you want to know, that 6th chapter is the answer. Shanai shanai rubaramet, buddhya dhriti grihidaya, atma samstam manakritva, na kinchidapi chindayet. He says, gradually you have to become free from the grip of the mind. That's when you say that you will get the shanti. Otherwise it won't happen. Like, you know, this is a big problem, isn't it? We always talk about peace of mind. Yeah? It's a wrong statement as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned. Peace and mind cannot stay together. So when we say to other, normal life we say like that, isn't it? All these people who advertise about insurance and all, they will say that. You will have peace of mind, you know, after retirement. There's so many advertisements who say like that, peace of mind. It's a wrong statement it is. Mind means there is no peace. Peace means there is no mind. That's what the definition is like that. Bhagavad Gita is saying that very clearly. If you have mind, you will not have peace. If you have peace, you won't have a mind. So those two things cannot exist together. But we always say like that in life, is it not? Peace of mind. Which we never get. Anyway, so that is why in many places there is a verse in the Shivananda Lahiri also talking about, that's what I'm saying, that how things get changed when it comes to our life in this world. Many things will be misunderstood. Like the word guru, right? People use freely now for everything guru. He's the guru of stock market, or he's the guru of the businesses and things like that. People use that word very freely, is it not? But guru is only meant for spiritually, someone who is in a spiritual path, who is guiding others, or you can say, guru's definition is there in the Upanishads. Viprakulina krita samskriyoga sodhida veda agama tattva veta varnashram acharya madodhi diksha daksha tapasi guru astigostu. That is guru's standard definition in the shastra. Vipram kulinam krita samskriyoga sodhida veda agama tattva veta varnashram acharya madodhi diksha daksha tapasi guru astigostu. This is guru's definition. But look at the way now we use the word, how guru is used in the world today. So in the same way, here also, therefore, when we use this word, that adhyalpam, spiritual life, material life, when we say that, we really have to know what we mean by that. Many things, because our materialistic life, we bring that into spiritual life. And we make a meal out of the whole thing. That's what has happened. So, in a jnani, when he has realized it, then that dina bhavam is not there, right? So, so in swarupam, when they have realized, they know that perfection is there in the swarupam, our swarupam. There is perfection. Purnatvam is there, right? And that is why jnanis don't offer obeisances to anybody, because nir stutihi nir namaskaraha, they are always offering obeisances to the andaryami inside. So, similarly, great personalities, great devotees, they are also, because the pride is gone completely, ahankaram has completely left them, and they have realized themselves that there is perfection inside, which is andaryami. Mind is not operating anymore, therefore they don't offer obeisances to anybody. Do you get the point? We, ordinary people, we are supposed to offer obeisances to sannyasis, gurus, and so many other great personalities. We are meant to do that. Why is that? Because ahankaram is still there. But once the ahankaram has completely gone, in that you have become a devotee, you have developed your devotional qualities, everything, then there is no mind operating anymore. And at that time, there is no need for any obeisances or anything. So, dosham. because in our present state, when we see someone, it creates some emotions inside us, either a love or a hate, or lust or greed, or whatever it is. Some emotions, if it is still creating inside, that means that our mind is operating still. Mind is still operating. Just like when a dog sees another dog, it will bark. Isn't it? It will bark, right? So, similarly, for some people, when they see some others, immediately there is irritation inside. It comes to them, right? Dvesham, varupa. So, all these things in a psychic plane. These emotions will affect us very much, right? Krotham, anger, and selfishness. All these things is spoken in the destructive time. It manifests from Ishvara for the destruction of the creation. Right? When it comes to us, it makes us selfish. When those things comes to us, it makes us selfish. And it becomes a very powerful emotion, krodham. And that's what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Krodhal bhavati samoha, samohal smriti vibhramam, smriti bhramshal buddhinasham, buddhinashal pranashyadi. Yeah. So why is he saying that? Because those things, if it is inside, it means that you do need purification. You are not still in the spiritual life. You are still on the mental platform, right? So, Krishna mentioned that, isn't it? Trividham naragasyaidam dvaram nashanam altmana, 18th chapter. Trividham naragasyaidam dvaram nashanam altmana. kamam krotham tatha lopam tasmadev trayam tyajet. He puts it in the 18th chapter, is it not? Tasman, he says, these three things are gateways to hell, Krishna says. Which one? Kamam, krodham, loham. Trividam naragasedam, dwaram, nashanam, alpana. They will destroy you. You won't be able to make any progress on spiritual path with that. Trividam naragasedam, dwaram, nashanam, alpana. Kamam, krodham, tadha, loham. Tasma deva trayam tejet. He puts it that way, right? So this things like media, newspapers and television and all other things, Facebook, all kinds of things, right? All of them creates these emotions inside us, right? And once it so happened, one man went to see a movie, right? And in the movie, everything was going well. He was liking it very much. I'm just saying how it affects a person, right? So something happened in the movie which he didn't like. So because he couldn't do anything, what did he do? The man who was sitting right in front of him gave him a good thrash. This is what he did. He couldn't control himself because what happened in the movie, he didn't like it. So he took the solution for the problem. He gave a good one to the one who was sitting, who was not watching the movie like him. He got it from him for nothing, for what he hasn't learned anything, right? So this is how identification happens, right? And this same issue, Mahabharata, right? Dushasana wanted to remove the clothes of Draupadi, right? And in the movie, you can't do anything about it when they are showing that, right? And so Pandavas were sitting there. They were helpless about it because they lost the gambling and they have agreed for this, right? So when this was shown, he said, in the drama they were showing this, what was happening there, right? So one person who was watching the drama from the audience, he jumped into the stage and Dushasana was there. He gave him a few punch straight away. He didn't like it that all of them were sitting there and Draupadi was disrobed and this person who was in the audience, he jumped into the stage and punched him, the Dushasana. He punched the Dushasana there, right? So, identification. That is how identification does, right? So, when dvesham comes, there will be no shanti inside, right? There is no shanti inside. That is why Krishna has said that akrotham. Remember? He said that akrotham. Akrotham, krotham, absence of krotham. That is what he is saying there. Akrodo nadhimanitam. Devi ga sambadam devi abhijadasya bharata. He said. So, ahimsa satyam akrotham tyaga shanti ravaishinam daya bodhya shaloluptam mardavam kri achapalam. So if you want bhakti, if you want shanti, then you have to become free from krotham, free from krotham. So while chanting the holy name, what we have to do is that if you know that all these problems are inside me, or inside one, which is opposite to all these qualities, whatever that is there, you have to keep saying to Krishna that to get rid of them from inside. Antaryami only can do that, right? Krodaha, tyagaha, tyage neva amrutattva manishu. So sannyasam means this tyagam, right? What exactly is tyagam? Tyagam means, basically tyagam means seeing this whole creation as Krishna's manifestation. Pravancham, creation itself is Bhagavad Swarupam, right? And that is what he is saying here. The Tyagam Prapancha Swarupasya Brahmatma Lokam Avalokanat, he says. Now it's, if you can realize it, now itself, right now, you are liberated once you have that realization, right? So Avalokanat. This thing like me, you, mine, yours, all this is a part of Vyavaharam, right? When you are able to give up all that things, not external Tyagam, that is also, there is an identification with that. Even great Mahalpas have made mistakes on that, right? Patanatha Swamiji's story is there, famous story, right? What is, he was a great personality, and he had a his samadhi on the seashore. They have built that for him. So he used to wander around. All his wealth, he gave it away and walked out. I mentioned about Padmaswami before, the whole story behind it. Yeah. So Padmaswami left everything, threw away everything, and with a begging bowl, he was wandering. He was a very wealthy person, very wealthy businessman he was. He threw away all his wealth and then took a begging bowl and started begging and living like that, in that way, right? So, and he used to play with children while he was wandering around. When the children are playing, he'll go and join them and play with them, right? And he also had, he used to carry sometimes sugar cane. You know that sugar cane sticks, right? Stick form. And one piece of that he will carry with him. And when he is thirsty, he will bite that, so that it gets you some juice inside, and he will be satisfied with that. He doesn't want anything else, right? And so while he is playing with the children, sometimes he has developed a certain, that purity inside. He used to give stones from the ground and give it to the children, and when the children, and tell them to put it in the mouth. When the children put that into the mouth, it is a sweet. The stone has become a sweet inside. Stone has become a sweet inside. That's how powerful he was. He will play with the children and he will give stones to the children and he will tell them to put it into the mouth, and when they put it into the mouth, it is a sweet. It has become very sweet, right? So so he wanted to wander around in this way, and so that is a siddhi that comes from this purity. It comes from this purity, right? So that is why. And so so Krishna says, the Ahimsa ahimsanam praninam prida varjanam satyam apriya anuta varjitam apriya anuta varjitam yada bhutartha vachanam akrotham parehi akrishtasya upashamanam tyagam sanyasa purvam dhanasya uktatvat shanti andakaranasya upashamam apaishunam abishunata parasmai parajantra prakadigaranam paishunam tad abhava apaishunam daya kripa bhudeshu dukhideshu aloluptam indriyanam Vishayasanido avikriyaha mardavam mrududa akravijam hri lajjaha ajabalam asadi prayojana vak pani padadinam avyabari trutvam kim cha. That is the bhashyam on that verse, he say, right? So, whatever one may do, and he is talking about ahimsa, satyam, akrodham. So, ahimsa we discussed in detail what it means. And satyam also we have discussed, right? But if anybody even argues and fights over anything, able to control one's own anger, that is akrodham. Akrodham. Tyagam, Krishna is referring to there. Akrodham, tyagam. Tyagam refers to sannyasam. Sannyasam, right? Not dhanam. Dhanam we have spoken before, right? Shanti refers to this peace of mind, peace inside, that is shanti, right? And paishunam means that talking about others, their defects and their good things and bad things, discussing about others, that's called Paishunam. That's called Paishunam, right? When you don't have Paishunam, that's called Apaishunam. Apaishunam, right? Similarly, people when they are suffering in this world, you feeling compassion for them, that is Daya. And Aloluptam means, Bodeshu Aloluptam. Aloluptam means that even though a lot of things are there to drag your senses for enjoyment, right? That means things for sense gratification. Even though it is available, not desiring from inside for that. That's called Aloluptam, right? Mardama means not being cruel to anyone. Then Hri means, he is referring to feeling shame about doing certain things. In other words, Achabalam, the last one, he said that even if there is no benefit in life, if there is no benefit from that, not using your hands or legs or even your words for that purpose, that's called Achabalam. Then he talks about Tejasa Kshama Dhridi Shaucham Adroho Adhimanita Bhavandi Sambadam Devi Abhijadasya Bharata. So Krishna saying there that Tejasa Pragalbhyam Na Todgara Deepti Kshama Akrishtasya Tadidasya Va Andar Vikriya Ulpati Ulpannanam Vikriyayam Prashamanam Akrotham Idi Avochama Itham Kshamayam. The word Krishna used there is Tejasa. Tejasa means, Tejas is not that when you see something, it is very effulgent. Not in that sense, right? It is that power of spirituality in a person. That is called a Tejas. A person, when he is spiritually very strong, there is a certain aura that comes from him. That is called a Tejas, right? And in other words, even if you abuse him or insult him, or if you give any trouble to him, give pain to him, totally unaffected by that and able to remain in a shanti state, kshama, right? Even if any vigaram, any emotions comes in, able to control that, akrodham. So, difference between akrodham and kshama, you have to know that, what the difference is, right? And akrodham means that even if any emotions comes inside, you are not affected by that, able to control that. That is called akrotham, right? Akrotham. Kshama means that even if you are abused or attacked, still able to remain peaceful. That is called kshama. Akrotham means that even if you get agitated inside, able to control that is called akrotham. That's the difference between akrotham and kshama, which he says here, isn't it? Teja Kshama Dhridi Shaujam Adroho Na Atimanita. In the previous verse, Krishna said Ahimsa Satyam Akrotham. Right? So, similarly, when our body and our senses, right, when they become weak, able to get over that problem is called Dhridi. What does that mean? Right? Dhridi has got, you see Krishna used the word, Teja Kshama Dhridir Shaujam. Dhridi means that the Dehendriyeshu Avasadam Prapteshu Tasya Pradishetaga Andakkarana Vritti Visheshaha Yena Uttambhidani Karanani Dehacha Na Avasidandi. Means that when we feel weak with our body and senses, right, and particularly ears and the eyes and the ears, how can we become not affected by that? And so Dhridi is that process by which one has to achieve that. We'll talk about it. Shaucham, Krishna mentions there, Dhridi Shaucham. Shaucham in two ways. One has to clean oneself with water or with the sand, or with the soil, right? And similarly, hate, anger and things like that inside, how do we purify that from the mind? That is also called shaujam. Shaujam, bahya shaujam, abhyantara shaujam. Bahya shaujam means external cleaning the body and all that. Andariya shaujam means cleaning the mind. How do we clean that mind, right? And both are shaujam. Both are considered as shaujam. Adroha means not giving pain to anyone else. And similarly, thinking about oneself important is adhimanita. So one who don't have that adhimanam is natimanitam. And expecting others to respect you, that ahangaram inside, that state, all these things, Krishna is calling it as Devi Sambhata. Right? So, tejakshama drudhi shaujam adroho na atimanita bhavandi sambhadam devi abhijadasya bharata. Right? So, that is how those three verses, first, second and third verses, Krishna has talked about. Yeah? So, so the things are, like Krishna said before, will come in a person when he is making spiritual progress. It's not something individually I cultivate each quality. It will not happen that way. All these qualities are inside us. Everybody has it. But due to our Asuri Sambhata, it has covered all this Devi Sambhata. Devi Sambhata is not coming out. So Krishna's point is that through spiritual sadhana process, sadhana means japam, dhyanam, worship, deity worship, all aspects, so adhyayam, similarly salsangam, everything, all these things are sadhana processes. Through sadhana processes, when you start purifying yourself, when purification, because when you get to know these things, you make a desire that I want to have them in me. So when that desire comes, naturally, Andaryami inside will start responding to that. Yeah. If you are not able to purify yourself with sadhana process, then the only option left then is to cry to Andaryami to help. If the sadhana is not working. That depends on the person who is doing the sadhana. Sometimes sadhana, you may do sadhana for a long time, but if the sadhana was not of a very high quality, if it was done mechanically, probably you will find that there is not much response from inside. So when a situation happens like that, Krishna says that you cry to Andaryami and ask for Andaryami's help. So this is why, that is the reason why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, in two occasions, that you should always do sadhana taking my shelter. Remember? Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan mada ashraya, he said. This is the reason for that. Because in our sadhana we will fail. He knows that. We will become, what happens? We become stagnate. In the sadhana also you become stagnate. Stagnation will come. And then what will happen? It will become a mechanical thing. No feelings, no emotions, just doing 16 rounds, I'm told I'm doing it. It will become like that. So when it stagnates, then what will happen? Time will go and you are to leave the world also one day. So all your sadhana, what you have done, has not produced much result. So therefore Krishna is saying all the time that while doing sadhana, you should also take my shelter. In other words, you have to feel that my sadhana is not working. I am not able. So therefore all the Mahatmas have prayed like that. They said to Krishna that, you have to accept me the way I am. I can't do anything about it. I am like this. You have to accept me the way I am. And praying to Krishna and begging to Krishna for mercy. That's the only way in that stage what you can do. Nothing else you can do. Because when stagnation comes like that in spiritual life, that you are not able to make any further progress, everything is stuck, and you feel that you are doing sadhana but nothing is changing, and spiritually not feeling any progress in life. So Krishna feels that at that time, Jaramarana Mokshaya Mama Ashrita Yatandiye. Krishna is repeatedly saying this in the Bhagavad Gita. Take my shelter means that you take my shelter, thereby you will become, with my mercy you will get out of it. So the mercy is an important thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has spoken all the way through, isn't it? Tesham evanu kambartham aham ajnana jantama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvada. In other words, realization will only come when Krishna decides to give it to us. Jnana deepena bhasvada. Tesham evanu kambartham. I have to destroy your ignorance, he says. Aham ajnanajam tama. Ajnanam, what is inside you, tamogunam inside, I have to destroy that. Nashayami. How? Atma bhavastam. Because I am present inside you as your atma, very self. Nashayami atma bhavastva. So I have to remove that ignorance, and then what happens? Jnana deepena bhasvada. That jnana deepam, the knowledge of jnanam, knowledge, or light of knowledge, will come out from inside. So in other words, what is point is that Krishna is saying that even if you are doing sadhana, if there is no shelter, Krishna shelter, then that sadhana also will not be very productive. In other words, it won't go very far. It will go like a machine. You will operate like that. Yeah. So those things what has been mentioned in that way, and so that is what he is saying. So I was talking about this. You see, great people, if you look at it, you will see how they change their life, in their own very life in this world. Like I was talking about this Patanathar's life, how he was able to make that decision on the spot. He realized it, what is going wrong in his life. Yeah, he was a very wealthy businessman, and then all lot of things happened in his life. And finally, it so happened that Subramanya, Skanda has come as his son, and he wanted his son to do a big business like him. And them days, they were used to go by ship to different countries to sell their products, right? And so he sent his son to sell a lot of products in other countries. And when the ship came back, he was expecting that the son will come back with a lot of profit. He didn't bring anything back because he wanted to teach the father a lesson. And he gave this some needles which was covered in the cow dung and gave it to him, right? So, and he gave it to his mother and he left, the son left. So the father asked his mother, where is our son? He says that he has given me this and he has gone and showed him this, right? When he looked at it, there was a piece of this palmyra leaf on which he has written this, right? That your attachment to wealth, with this attachment, there is no point in doing anything, he said. And then he gave him a small needle which was broken. He said, you can't even use a thread in that to use it for stitching anything, right? Similarly, you are running after this wealth. What will you do with this wealth? When you leave this world, what is going to go with you? In this way, he written all these things, right? So, so this feeling that attachment to this wealth when is very strong inside, this opened his eyes completely. What Subramanya has done to him, his son has done to him, it opened his eyes. And he suddenly realized that in what a dangerous situation he is living in this world, right? So that is when he threw away everything. His manager came and asked him, what shall I do with all this wealth? He said, you can do what you want, he said. And that's the strength. That's the strength. So spiritual life happens like this. In many people, great personality, like Buddha walked out. So many others walked out. So you can see that when this Antaryami inside helps, that's when that happens. It is Antaryami inside has made him to do that. He did not do it on his own, right? So, wearing just a cow bean, he walked away from there. And so that story is famous, right? And then when he was sitting in the temple in Chidambaram with a begging bowl there, at the temple gate, he was sitting there with a begging bowl. And then the king comes to visit to the temple. And when he saw Patanath are sitting there with this begging bowl. He asked him, what has happened to you? He said, nothing has happened. Previously I used to come to you because when he was a wealthy businessman, and I had to stand in front of you because you were the king. You were the king. You were sitting there and I was standing in front of you with all the gifts what I used to bring for you to please you. Now I am sitting and you are standing, he said. So that is the difference. That's the difference. He said, I am now sitting and you are standing in front of me, he said. So this is all the differences. So that realization inside, vairagyam comes. And when some strong vairagyam comes, this is how spiritual life changes in a person's life, right? So these are all examples in the history about this, right? So, so as Krishna mentions there, that the tyagam, ahimsa, satyam, akrodham, tyagam. So these qualities, as I mentioned before in the morning, that it's only specific for people who are in spiritual path very seriously, doing spiritual life, who are following spiritual life very seriously, it is for them these things, what Krishna is talking about. It's not for the whole world. Yeah? It's not for the whole world. We don't expect all these things for the whole world to happen. It won't happen. Bhagavad Gita is a very personal thing. It is personally telling you how to make progress in spiritual path, in your personal life, how to make the progress in spiritual life. So that is why Sanatana Dharma believes in the personal development of a spiritual life rather than a social thing. It is not a social thing, it is an individual thing. So that is why all instructions are also very much for the individual, right? So, so after that, he is saying that Shandi, when he is talking about Shandi, right? Shandi is the after effect of Dharma. Tyagal Shandi Ranandaram, Krishna says in another place in the Bhagavad Gita. Remember that? Tyagal Shandi Anandaram, he says. In the 12th chapter, when we look at that, what Krishna said there. Tyagal Shandir Anandaram. So, everything what you see in the Bhagavad Gita, somewhere else in the Gita, you will see an explanation from Krishna about that. So, when you look at the 12th chapter, 12th verse. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, dhyanal karma phalatyagam, Tyagal Shandi Anandaram, he says. So when the Shandi comes, Shandi comes when Tyagam is there. When you have, that's what these great personalities, that's what you hear from them. When Shandi comes, what that means is that Tyagam is there. Tyagal Shandi Anandaram. Shrayohi Jnanam Abhyasal, Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishare, Dhyanal Karma Phala Tyagam, Tyagal Shandi Anandaram, he said. Right? So, between Tyagam and Shandi, there is no space in between. There is no space, right? Tyagam itself is Shandi. If you are able to do Tyagam, able to sacrifice everything in this life, right, without thinking about one's own selfishness, selfish happiness, if one is able to give up everything in this world, right, or swartha, selfishness, right, that is all Tyagam. It's called Shandi. And because on the absolute platform, it is Hitam, right? This is the reason Krishis are saying to us, right? Even in your material life, even if you have not made much progress, it doesn't matter, right? Tyage neiva amrutva manasyo, right? Tyage neiva amrutva manasyo. Vivekananda mentioned about this like this. He said, India will be raised by the, what is that called, this saffron robe, okshar, isn't it? O-C-H-R-E, okshar robe, which is the symbol of renunciation. And due to that alone, he said, which is through tyagam, that Bharata Bhumi has to lead the world. This is Vivekananda's statement. Not through military and conquering others. It is through Tyagam Bharata Bhumi has to elevate the world, rest of the world, he said, right? Even our life itself, he said. One's own life, by sacrificing, one has to elevate oneself. Similarly, Bharata Bhumi has to elevate the rest of the world through sacrifice. That is Vivekananda's statement on that, right? So, Vaidika Sampradayam, Vedic Sampradayam is dependent on this Tyagam, right? So, if we look at it, Tapasvi, Sannyasi, Brahmana, all of them, if they live according to their tapasya, because they don't have the tapasya, that is where the problem comes. If they live with the tapashakti, with that tapasya, they will have to do a lot of tyagam, sacrifice they have to do, right? And they will not be able to do many things in this world, like many jobs, what others are doing. They won't be able to do that, right? And they won't be able to achieve many things in this world. Only if they are able to do all that, they will have tapasya. Otherwise, tapasya won't be there. Tapasya is a very difficult thing, isn't it? You see, in the open world, everybody is competing each other to get positions, to make money, and to conquer other, building big empires and all that. But to give up everything and to become strong, that is tapasya. To give up everything and to become strong inside, that's called a tapasya. And that is what he is saying here. Tapasvi, sannyasi, brahmana, they all are expected to have this tapasya. This tapasya. So, tapasya means that thing which generates shanti inside. Generate shanti inside. And it is just like the light from the fire. In a similar way, tapasya. Tapasya is nothing but if a person has got tapasya, its light that comes from tapasya is shanti. Just like from the fire, the light comes. Fire is burning, which means the light will be there. In the same way, if the tapasya is there, shanti will be there in that person. Right? So, that shanti, if it comes from a person, it means that he has got Devi Sambhata. He's got Devi Sambhata. If the shanti is not there, it means that there is some problem. There is some problem inside, right? So, in the society, it is like that. Most, if you look at the society, you will generally see this, right? A lot of people, they have got a lot of wealth, intelligence, everything there, but shanti is not there. The shanti is not there, right? You look at many so-called first world or developed countries. You look at their situation, and you can see there that the why, if it is there is so much, if with all the wealth, if they are satisfied, why do they come to Vrindavan, Haridwar, and Himalayas and places like that? They are wandering around. Why do they do that? Because there is no shanti inside. That's the reason, right? There are many countries where there is a lot of wealth and a lot of comforts, material facilities and everything. And still, they come and wander around and able to tolerate all the inconveniences in the holy places. In many places, you will see them wandering around looking for something. Why is it like that? If there is so much wealth is making them happy, why do they give up everything and come in that way, right? So, because shanti is not there. Money is there, but shanti is not there. Shanti is not there. So, what they do is, they come and give the money to our Swamijis, and they take shanti and they go home. That's the business. They come with the money, and they give the money to the Swamijis. Swamiji gives them shanti and they go home with the shanti, right? Right. So shanti is the swarupam of Atma. Atma swarupam is shanti, right? So spiritual progress means what? Shanti inside. If shanti is not there, it means there is no progress in spiritual life, right? And so achieving the shanti and able to live In whichever situation Krishna has put us in this world, and able to stay there in that, and whatever little vyavaharam you have to do in this world, do that, and but live in the world with fulfillment inside. And then you don't, Krishna is saying here that you don't need any recognition from anybody else in this world in spiritual life. That is a recognition in spiritual life. If you are able to live in one place without desiring anything and doing the minimum vyavaharam with this world and satisfied with that, in whichever position Krishna has put us in according to our prarabdham, accepting that and keeping that shanti inside, Krishna says if you have that, that means spiritually you are becoming successful. It's not that the rest of the world has to tell you you are a pure devotee, or rest of the world has to certify you that you are an acharya or a guru and all that. That's all bogus. It has no meaning. Real thing, what Krishna is saying here is, these qualities, what Krishna has discussed in detail in these three verses, these things will come out in a natural way from a person if there is spiritually he is making the progress. So, yes, back on that. Yeah. So that is the recognition from Antaryami. That's a recognition from the Antaryami. And nobody has to call us and tell us you are a great soul, things like that. This green light will come from the Antaryami. And whereas, instead, if you don't have shanti inside, if you still have a lot of desires burning inside, and from the world you want the recognition, world has to say that you are a very spiritual personality, and if you are chasing that afterwards, what will happen is, after some time when you are not getting it, you will be very much affected by that. Yeah. So, even though the whole world may worship you, but if there is no shanti inside you, what's the use? That is why in that Guru Ashtagam, Acharya Swami says, Tatakyam, 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 Tatakyam. You will see 8 words as he wrote. Tatakyam, 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 Tatakyam. What is the use? What is the use? What is the use? He's saying. So, spiritual life, to understand spiritual life itself, because of our material conditioning, we think like in material life, you become successful when you become very famous, when you have loads of followers, and when a lot of people are recognizing you and calling you great, you start thinking that is what is in spiritual life also. Spiritual life, it is not like that. That's what the point Krishna is making. If the shanti inside in the person is there, that means that shanti, you see, is the proof of the person that he is successful in his spiritual life, if the shanti is inside. Then Krishna talked about what is called as abhishanam. Abhishanam means, Krishna calls it as a devi sambandha. Abhishanam, right? Thinking about others' problems. Problem is others' behavior, others' nature. Talking about it. Ekadasi skandam also Krishna did the same thing, isn't it? Parasubhava karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet vishwam egalpagam pashen prakritya purushenancha parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashubhrashade swarthal asatyam abhinivesada. Krishna has put it like that. It's not the two famous verses in the 28th chapter, I think. So from there itself you can understand that spiritual life means totally different things. Our perception of spiritual life has to change first. So, Krishna's point is that as long as this abhishanam is referring to this parasubhava karmam, others subhavam, others karmam, everybody is acting in this world according to their prarabdham and according to their vasana. Isn't it? People are behaving in this world in different ways according to their vasana, according to their prarabdham. And evaluating that is no use. Useless it is. It's not going to help very much. Right? So, if you do that, Krishna says that you know, this chicken, if you leave them out, what they'll do, they'll go out and start scratching the ground, looking for some worms inside. It is like that, they're saying. There will be no shanti inside. Waste collection, garbage collectors, they're like that, right? So, so that is what is called paishunam. Paishunam means evaluating others all the time, what they are like, right? Gossip, everything is a part of that, right? So that is why he mentioned those two verses. If you look at Bhagavatam, very important verses they are. Each one, Parasubhava Karmani. Krishna said to Uddhava that, is it not? That at the very end, he said to Uddhava. And when Uddhava heard that, that's a very difficult thing, he said, to do that. And that's when Krishna so told him the 29th chapter about bhakti, when he said, take my shelter, there's only way left, there's no other way. He said like that. So we'll stop it here today, and we'll continue on tomorrow morning. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Dinadaya Prabhupada.